Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
His stat line, you looking at his stats right now?
14 minutes, 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist.
You know, you got to get in the rhythm.
1 for 5.
You got to get in the rhythm. Got to get in the rhythm.
1 for 2. He's not that good of a free throw shooter.
He used to be. I don't know what the fuck happened, man.
He's looking like he's about to be shooting 50%.
Whatchamacallit looking. We talked about him, though. Zach Levine looking. So far, he's looking nice, man.
Yeah, man. You know what? If Zach, like, really pans out, that's an awful trade for Minnesota.
Awful. Terrible trade. If he pans out and start being like what I always considered the great value version of Russell Westbrook, that's
going. Yeah, because if he can be like a mid-20s scorer, right, like 22 to 25, you know, shoot 46%+ from the
that's
field.
Good. That's good.
34, 35
that's,
from the three.
That's great in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
That's great in the
amazing.
NBA.
That's amazing. You know, that's a major piece to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's the guy.
Right.
He's definitely a guy. He'll be a number two, number three option, you know.
All right, so y'all ready?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm the captain now. This is your boy, BZ430. Got FIFO, got Nick up, FIFO 24/7. Got
get
Nick
right
here from No Disrespect, as FIFO would say, disrespect.
Mr.
Very disrespectful. Mr. Disrespectful.
Hey, you know, I really saved your name like that in my phone.
Are you serious?
It says Nick,
that's
Mr.
Hilarious.
Disrespect.
That's
y'all,
hilarious,
y'all
man.
Y'all can at me at NDR513.
Yeah,
y'all
want, hey, add them
y'all
up.
Y'all want these problems.
Follow follow FIFO 24/7 on Twitter and follow myself, BZ430. Ken is handling outside podcast business right now, or whatever, personal business right now, so he won't be able to make it on this week, so us three is holding down the fort. Make sure you follow us all on SoundCloud, on Spotify. Well, Dead End Sports not on Spotify yet. We're working on it. We will be. We'll be across all the other platforms except for Spotify. So hit us on iTunes, SoundCloud. Follow us on the Twitter at Dead End Sports. All that other great stuff.
They be talking a lot of cash on SoundCloud comments.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. The SoundCloud comments be off the chain and on there. So yeah, make sure you reply to them if you can, because I know I try to get at them in the comment section. But yeah, there you go. So I guess we're gonna start with the NBA. So
let's start with the NBA.
What's the hot takes you got, man?
Guns blazing.
FIFO had a huge smile on his face, man. Like, he got some hot takes. As recording this right now is Thursday. What's it, October 18th?
Yeah.
Thursday, you know, the season officially started October 16th. 16th. Mm-hmm. I'm all messing my days. Yeah, 16th. We had the doubleheader. Sixers and Celtics and Warriors and Thunder. Started off on Tuesday night, and then, of course, y'all know Wednesday, pretty much everybody was going yesterday, a whole bunch of games. And tonight, as we're sitting here recording this, we got the Bulls and the Sixers coming up, I mean, going right now, along with the Lakers and Blazers that's coming on the TNT doubleheader. So what's your hot takes, FIFO? What you think of the season, day three of the NBA season?
I was about to say, not even a whole week.
Right.
Not even
right.
a whole week yet.
Not even a whole week yet, man.
Man, first and foremost, we were just slightly talking about it, but this is the best time of the year for sports.
Best time.
Because you got baseball playoffs.
Yep.
You got the NBA just started. And
the
we're starting
excitement. All the excitement
yep.
up for that.
Yep. All of the movement, all of the yep. big names, you know, all of the stars can Golden State, the storylines. And then, you know, with football, we're starting to round shape to understand what these teams are that are playing this season.
Yep.
So we're starting to understand the narrative, the storylines there as well. So it's an amazing time. However, you know, my thing is basketball.
Yep.
My thing is basketball.
People's a basketball dude, man. I am too. Mm-hmm. So it's like we love this time of the year, man, with basketball come around, man.
FIFO from the free throw. That's what they call him in the streets.
Man, I love it. I love it, man. You know, I was having League Pass now. We got League Pass on Sling TV, so we can watch all the games.
So I know y'all like us doing that. Then. Oh, yeah. Look. During the playoffs, the fans love the fact of us watching the game, giving our narrative, and doing stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that was classic stuff. Oh,
So we're definitely going to do that throughout the season and definitely for the playoffs, definitely for the championship. Yep, we're definitely going to do that. So, you know, stay tuned. You know, we just got to put it together.
Damn, I forgot we was doing that. Yeah. They was loving that
they
live.
They loved that.
They was loving that they live YouTube, that. Man. We was literally watching these games live.
Yep.
We had like a laptop up and we was on live on YouTube and we were just like, what? Our reaction.
Oh, no, well, I'm down like, for yeah, that. Yeah.
If people, him and Ken, I forgot what happened when J.R. Smith made that bonehead move in game one. Man, Ken and Ralph's reaction was classic. You could probably look it up on the YouTube channel on Dead End Sports if you haven't, but classic, man.
And make sure you subscribe.
Yes.
But the hot take, man, first day of the season, first game we watched, Philly-Boston. Jason Tatum is the nicest Celtic on the roster, bro.
On the roster?
On the roster.
Right, better than Kyrie? You know you love Kyrie?
Man, you know I love Kyrie.
You love your boy Kyrie.
And you saw a bad Kyrie and a great Tatum.
No.
That's what it was.
No. Because look. B knows I love Kyrie. It's not because he had a bad game. Trust me. I think Kyrie's still the most unguardable guy.
I think I know why you're going to say this.
The size.
Yeah, I know you.
The size.
I know FIFO
the smoothness,
too much. I know FIFO
the size,
too much.
The smoothness. Like you could tell that he's playing even at a calmer rate, right? Like as a rookie, the thing that impressed at least me, right, what separated him from the other rookies was it never felt like it was too much for him, right? Like he played at his pace,
right?
Like one guy that we saw real early on that was like that, Dame Lillard,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He played at his pace. It didn't matter what the NBA was trying to throw at him. It's like, bro, you can't rattle me.
But that was because 4 years in college, people usually always say you were
of course.
That's like
seasoned.
The ideal
of course.
Type of player.
Because he played 4 years.
Of course.
Yeah.
But Jason didn't.
Right.
You know
one and
saying?
Done.
One and done. And I knew he was nice in college. And see, this is why I don't really like the college game. Because you don't see this, right? You don't see this version of these guys in college just because of how the rules are constructed. The court's a little small.
And to piggyback off that, his last name is Jackson. Played for Memphis. He's a rookie. He went to Michigan State.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Watching him, I feel kind of upset. I'm like, damn, Tom Izzo was like, you holding him back? Because that dude is nice, man.
Exactly.
Like, don't be surprised if he creep up in the name for Rookie of the Year. Because, man, like I feel like Tom Izzo was holding him back.
Yeah, and I don't think it was just Tom Izzo. I'm telling you,
the college game.
These NBA guys, the real NBA guys that play college ball, they can't showcase everything that they can do because you can pack the paint too much. Yep. But let me digress back into what I wanted to say about Jason Tatum. This guy, he has everything. He has post game. He has size. I saw him standing next to Gordon Hayward. He made Gordon Hayward look small, bro. Gordon Hayward been in the league 5-6 years now, bro.
But they both like the same.
Look at them.
Gordon Hayward 6'9".
They listed what's his name? Trae Young is like what 6'2", 6 foot or something like that.
Yeah, he's taller than that.
Trae Young?
Yeah, isn't he not?
Nah, he's shorter than that.
How tall is Trae?
I thought he was 6'2".
Trae might be 5'10", at all 5'10".
Nah.
Really?
Trae Young ain't that tall.
I thought he was 6'3".
Hell no.
Nah, he's smaller than that.
I'm about to see how tall Gordon Hayward is.
I'm just saying, like, the height.
Well, just even like KD, right? Like, KD really 7 feet, man.
Yeah.
He's 7 feet.
It was, when he came out of Texas, they were like 6'9". I said, this dude is not 6'9". Like, he was not 6'9" at all.
I saw him
stand next to LeBron. Yeah. They had LeBron at 6'8". Yeah. Dude had him at least by 2 inches. I'm like, that dude is not 6'9". Like, no way.
And he was still growing at that point.
He was still growing. Yeah.
But Jason Tatum, man, I'm telling you, he has everything. He got the jump shot. He got the pull-up game. He got the hesitation. He has vision. He's unselfish. You know what I'm saying? And then what you saw in that game, I just think is the evolution, right, of that wing player, the definition of what these guys are supposed to be like. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be KD or LeBron, but at minimum, he's Paul George. Like, I think now, today, already.
I say at minimum, he's Melo.
No, get out of here with Melo. Do not bring up Melo no more. Did we see that game?
Come on, man.
Over the hill.
No,
let's be honest.
First of all, no, he's not. give it time. The Miami Heat were 9-8 when they first started out. So if those collection of players, it took time for them, it's going to take time for anybody else. And second of all, the reason why I mentioned Mel is because one of Jason Tatum's favorite players in NBA, well, like throughout the whole time he's been watching NBA, is Carmelo. And he's kind of fashioned his game a little bit like that.
And you can see it.
So
he's been working out with Kobe, though.
Of course. Everybody wants. Why not? But as far as calling him the nicest Celtic on the team, now I'll give you Gordon Hayward because I said that. I don't know if I said it here.
Yeah, you did.
I said it earlier. He's going to be the first man out as far as I think he's going to get traded by the deadline.
Wow, this season?
Did you watch that game? Did you see how he was useless on that?
But that was the first game back.
Man, this dude had Achilles. He tore his Achilles, man.
Look how Tatum shines. So, like, the minutes. Now, you mentioned Brad Stevens last episode. Like, any other coach you wouldn't trust this team with because of, like, too many mouths.
Outside of Pop.
Yeah. So, but if you look at. What minutes are you willing to give Gordon Hayward that you're willing to take away from Jason Tatum?
Or Jaylen.
Yep. And it's like, I can't make a case for it because he's not athletic as either one of them. He doesn't scare you like either one of them. And on top of that, is defensively, can he even be comparable to them? Like, what part of his game is as good or better than any one of them at their young age?
I think that.
For his veteran's presence.
Yeah, like
shoot the ball really good.
It's just a lot of the same.
Brad Stevens, I'm looking at their minutes. He did a great job of like
managing
their minutes very well. Like,
but here's the thing though, right? Like here's the thing, because when the tough get going, you're gonna go with your guys, right? Let's just be honest. And we have to see
Morris, the twins. Yeah.
You know, in the playoffs, he gets a lot of minutes
because he's a dog. You need a dog on the court.
Exactly. He gets a lot of minutes. So how, you know, I agree with Nick, Mr. Disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? That he can it's going to be interesting because Gordon Hayward, I think, is going to be the first guy out of there in terms of being the odd man out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the first guy that their minutes get cut, it's going to be him. And also Kyrie's not going to have every game like that. So then, you know, Terry came in and he played well.
You still think Kyrie not the best player on their squad, dude?
Nah, I think it's Jason Tatum.
I won't say Jason Tatum.
Damn, people.
Because that's disrespectful to Kyrie.
Wow.
He called me Mr. Disrespect. And you disrespecting the champion.
You saying Kyrie not that dude?
No.
For the Celtics?
Who's the only champion on that team?
No, look. I don't have to explain myself when I talk about Kyrie because I've already put it out there.
Nah. You ain't a Kyrie fan saying that.
I am a Kyrie fan.
A second year player is better than an NBA vet champion.
What I'm saying is like this, right? Like Steph Curry isn't the best player on Golden State, but he's their most important player.
You feel like Kyrie is.
They have to have Kyrie to win a championship.
I would say.
Like you could take Jason.
They don't need Kyrie to win a championship.
Whoa.
They don't need Kyrie to win a championship.
So you mean to tell me
you cool with Rozier?
Exactly. Running, you start Rozier, and that's a championship squad?
I'm saying with the combination of Rozier and Smart, you get a Kyrie.
But they already have that.
I'm just saying, you don't need. Need is a strong word.
Beat the Golden State Warriors, you're going to need Kyrie Irving.
I'm saying, I'm just talking about.
You mean in general? Like, what are you going?
Yeah, because
I'm just saying, to get.
They were one game away. They were one quarter away from going to the NBA Finals without Hayward or Kyrie. Uh-huh. Now that you have Hayward and Kyrie back, but with the blossoming of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and then also you still Rozier and Smart.
Not enough.
I think you can get to the finals and
nah.
You're deep no, enough.
It's not
to,
enough. You're not going to win.
I don't think nobody's going to be Golden State anyway, so that's a big thing. But at the same time, do you need Kyrie to get to the finals?
Yes.
No. Wait. Hold on. Let me answer the question, and I'll take it a step further. No, you don't need Kyrie to make it to the finals, but you need Kyrie to compete in them finals. Because I always say it, there's a handful of point guards that when they play them Golden State Warriors, them boys show up and show out. Because you have to. Because Steph Curry is the golden boy. Mm-hmm. These guys have won championships. And you want to be able to show your worth, right, against the best.
And then they show up. And then you got to factor in, you adding DeMarcus Cousins to that squad, too.
Of course.
Come on.
Of course. So you have to have Kyrie to even compete in that. Because Kyrie, did you not see the duel last year?
No, I saw it.
You have to have a guy at the point guard position that has to go at Steph.
Rozier's not doing that.
Yeah, not at that level.
Not at that level.
Not at that level.
I'm not saying what I was saying is that you don't like need. You're only talking about one series with one specific team, in mind, right?
But they're the guys, and everybody know they're the guys. 87% of the GMs say they're gonna win again.
They're gonna win again. Yeah.
So that's like two GMs saying that maybe it's their squad, and right. maybe that's like the Lakers right. in Boston.
Boston. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
So, and my thing is, since everybody's already picking them to win. Do you need and you don't need and we all agree that you don't need Kyrie to get to the final, especially this year in the East.
Mm-hmm.
I can make a case for Kyrie definitely leaving after this year.
It's
possible because that's why I think him and Gordon Hayward are the most like tradable assets because
it depends on what happened.
Because you don't need either one of them now together and put them all on the team. It sounds great.
Here's the thing: I think to win a championship. You need Kyrie. You don't need Gordon Hayward. To get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you don't necessarily need Kyrie, but to win a championship, you need Kyrie.
You need Kyrie. It's freaking Kyrie Irving.
Are you both?
And he was saying, I was sounding disrespectful. Right. I'm sounding disrespectful right. now.
Uncle Drew, man. You can't disrespect Uncle Drew.
You said Jason Tatum is the best. And that's not what I'm saying at all.
I understand that. No, I understand your position. Yeah. And that's the reason why I brought up Golden State, because I think that Kevin Durant as a basketball player is better than Steph. But you take away KD, that team can still win. You take away Steph, that's a completely different team.
I don't think they win without KD. I honestly don't.
You tripping.
Because, no, if
they
you think,
won without that, him that, before, though.
No, but that was with a hurt Kyrie and Kevin Love. That was when LeBron took him to six by himself.
So you mean to tell me if we take any one guy off, KD is the one guy that you take off that they don't win?
They don't win.
You tripping.
Even with DeMarcus Cousins there?
You tripping. Like 100% DeMarcus.
I was mostly talking about like
the
four finals that they've been in.
KD let's talk about them now. Why? Look, this is the 2018-2019 season.
I'm saying that's how important I think KD is. Like, people always say, it's easy to go to the 73.
Of course he's important.
And all that. But I don't think they win the last two championships without KD.
I think they win
just because they won one.
But I don't think they win them the way they won them. KD,
right,
KD,
right.
KD,
not in five games.
Exactly.
Not in five games.
And then sweep this last one.
Right, and sweep
No. Without KD, hell no. They going 6-7. They might have lost to Houston.
Right.
They might have not even
exactly.
made
that's
it.
That's what I'm
so,
saying.
So,
yeah.
No. I agree. But however, I think they take a bigger drop-off with Steph versus KD, and we're talking about the best player versus the most important player. And I think Jason Tatum right now is their best player, but Kyrie is their most important player. To win that championship, you need Kyrie Irving. You need the guy that's going to go at Steph. You need the guy that's not going to shy away from the biggest moment.
That's been there before.
And not saying that Jason Tatum or any one of those guys would shy away from the moment, but Kyrie is proven.
Right.
That's why you pay him the big bucks. And I think it's extremely difficult for a little guy. And I always say it because you cannot physically impact the game like that. And the one guy that we've seen him impact the game because you get an extra point every time you shoot is Steph, but even still, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to have the Jason Tatums, the KDs of the world, but the most important guy is still Kyrie.
I still feel like that's disrespectful to say Jason Tatum better than Kyrie, but I'm gonna let the fans comment on that.
Nick. I thought he was saying that too, but I get what. I knew where FIFA was going.
He made
with
it sexy. I
knew where FIFA was going to go with it. Like when he said that, I know he's not literally saying like Jason Tatum is like bam. Like he's not literally. Yeah.
If he puts it all together,
I get FIFA's point.
I'm just saying
he's their best player.
Jason Tatum is the toughest guy to guard on their team now. I don't think it's no longer Kyrie. Kyrie.
You don't think so?
I love Kyrie, but Kyrie, look at how hard Kyrie has to work for shots. Kyrie's shots ain't easy outside of the system and the ball gets
That's
moving.
Why his knees
but
is
the,
like a
But the
a
fact
grandfather.
You still D him up and he still finishes.
I know. I already know, bro. You can't stop him.
And if anything, the size part that you talk about, I feel like that's a cop out.
What do you mean?
Because
in terms of what?
As far as his height being the reason why you say he's better is because if Kyrie was 6'3 or 6'4, he would easily probably be the best player in the NBA.
No, he is 6'3, 6'4.
Yeah, Kyrie Boston.
I thought he was 6'2.
Nah, he like 6'3.
6'3, 1 inch. I
mean, if he was 6'6, Jason Tatum height, Kyrie's the best player in the NBA.
Kobe done said it. Kobe said if Kyrie was my size, he'd dominate the NBA. Because you already can't stop him. I understand. Look, trust me. I am the biggest, one of the biggest Kyrie supporters. I understand his game. People sometimes may say it's a little too flashy. He's doing too much. No, no, no. There's a sweet science to what he does, and he makes people look foolish. And he makes the toughest shots. He shoots off the dribble. He understands the time and game, right? Like, I love guys like that. Love Kyrie. But Jason Tatum scores easier. He just does. And it's not just because of the height and length. His game is from a scorer's perspective, is more fluid. He has to take less dribbles to get better shots than Kyrie does. It's just easier. That's why I'm saying it's better. And then as he continues, because he's obviously going to grow through the season.
He is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all of that is just gonna expand even more. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, and I'm also projecting off of one game. Obviously, this is a slight overreaction.
Right.
Slight.
You know, come on now. It's a hot take. Let's be honest. I'm just throwing darts out here.
Right.
But I feel very confidently in saying that by the end of the season, I think he's probably gonna lead them in scoring, or be second to Kyrie. He's gonna be the number one and number two scoring option on that squad.
I can see that. I can definitely see him. Yeah, I can see them. Real quick, before we jump into the rest of some more of the games. I had sent y'all a text earlier about the G League. You saw that about the G League playing payers 125 for a 5 month season, 125K.
Keyword 5 month season. The key phrase in there was what? Selective elite players.
Yeah, selective elite players. Yeah, I got it. Okay, I'm gonna read it real quick. It said NBA G League today announced the select contract as part of a comprehensive professional path that will be available beginning of the 2019-2020 season to elite prospects who are eligible to play in the NBA G League but not yet eligible for the NBA. The contracts, which will include robust programmable opportunities for development for elite players who are at least 18 years of old and will pay $125,000 for a 5 month season. Like, how many 5-star players you think that end up doing that? Like,
I think it'll take a while.
Like 4 years, 3 years.
One and done's ain't doing that. I don't see the one and done.
I think
doing
it'll be
that.
Like 5 years. Before, like, you really start to see, like, oh, there's, like, it's going to take a while. Like, it's going to be, like, 5 years in, like, that one player, like, top three in the class. It's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to go this route. Just because everybody wants to see how it plays out.
Exactly. I think eventually the one and done's get there. But, like Nick said, I think it's going to take a couple seasons.
You think some
going
to try this upcoming year? Like,
it's too early.
Again, not the one and done. I don't think, like, the top 15 to 25 players won't. But the people in the top 50 definitely will.
You think so?
Yeah, that's what I was telling Bita. I was like, I think the players who are like who are maybe on the cusp of NBA potential will look at it as like, hey, as an 18-year-old with no college degree, I can make
125K in 5 months.
Yep.
And why you know how college is like slavery and stuff.
Exactly.
How much is that breakdown? Hold on. You know,
if you did it for 12 months, I think 125 breaks down to a little over 10,000.
No, but this is for five months.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're reducing it to 5 months.
Shoot, but 125K a year is still good. You talking about 5 months?
That's 25 bands a month.
To an 18-year-old? Dude, listen, an 18-year-old coming fresh out of high school, I don't know, man. We might see like maybe one or two make that jump.
That's a lot of money, man.
You easily paying off any debt that you
What
are
you going to have? What is your family?
Family. That's family. What I'm talking about. Like, because that's the main thing.
Right.
You can just pay that off. You save your money right. You can invest it well. Get a house.
But here, but what I want to know is what's the long-term thing of this, right? Because obviously we know G League players ain't making that type of money.
Right.
Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. So let's say if we start to see these fringe guys, right? Not the one and done guys, but the fringe guys, right? They start to take this. So you mean to tell me I go from 125 a year to 35, 40 the next year?
I think this is new precedent as far as here's my thing, and I was telling I started to tell B this. I think it starts off as more of a incentive not only for the NBA to make the G League really legitimize and make it actually a developmental place where the players can actually see themselves going to the NBA, but it also kind of helps bring more money and bring more attention to the NBA because what was the main complaint about the NBA was that you letting all these one and done kids, and like most of them are coming out to be bust. Mm-hmm. There's only about like 3 or 4 players come out per draft that are actually really good. So you bring, you have a development system that actually shows that it works, that actually will pay his players. You're putting a bunch of, the idea is you put a bunch of kids into it, and then you're going to get a crop of new NBA players that can go easily into those teams that are affiliated with those.
Because they're already playing against grown men.
And, you know, I'm a big proponent of kids that are that special, that talented to play against grown men, because we see what happens to, like, the Ricky Rubios, right? Like, they were already early.
Right.
Luka Doncic, you know what I'm saying? These
Tony
guys.
Tony Parker. You know, and Ginobili's.
Yeah, they were 14 playing against grown men. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You 30 over here playing against a 14-year-old, and he's holding his own.
Right.
That means he's going to be hella nice, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm definitely a proponent of that, you know, but I just would like to know what that looks like long term.
Well, my thing is, my point was, the more eyes that are on it, because if you get a top 5 or top 10 or top 15 recruit, people are going to want to watch it. You're going to have a lot of hype. You're going to have to start televising these G League games. You televise G League games, what's that? TV money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the long term thing. I think that's.
Right. So, like, say if ESPN, you know how they do their top 100 or whatever high school. Say, like, you know, the number 3 guy and the number 7 guy go to the G League.
They do,
you
know that, what I'm saying? Then it's,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's the long.
I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying, like, say if you got like the top 3 dudes, you're like, wait a minute. This dude nice. I want to see him play.
You really only need one. You need one top 5 player to go to this. They will televise at least his first.
I would say 2. If you can get 2 out of the top 10.
Well, to me, I say 1 if he's in the top 5. If you're not getting a top 5 player, you need like these 2 or 3.
But it also depends, right? Like the guy, right? Because I think there's a lot of nice guys in this draft, right? But if Zion went and nobody else went, you're watching.
That's what I mean. Yeah. You only need one.
Like, but it depends on the one, though. Because every draft class doesn't have the one.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Can you imagine, like if Zion be like, if he were like, I ain't going to Duke, I'm coming playing here.
Zion might not have no choice.
And you know what?
Right.
And here's my thing. I honestly want to see the NBA take it further. Right, I want to see them kind of start to permeate the AAU scene because I've been saying it for years. Mm-hmm. We can tell you, I've been saying that there's so much talent that's influxing the NBA. Every draft that we've seen, there's been at least 5 or 6 guys, right, that we're looking at like, oh snap, mm-hmm. you're either gonna be like perennial All Star, potential Hall of Famer like the Jason Tatum,
right, or specialist,
you know, or specialist. But you're getting quality guys in the draft now.
Right.
At least through the first 14 to 18 picks, mm-hmm. you're getting real quality guys. So with that being said, I feel that the NBA farm system needs to start even earlier. You know what I'm saying? To cultivate this talent. Mm-hmm. I think we should start, you know, touching them 10, 11 years old. You know, maybe even younger than that. Obviously, a lot of young guys and a lot of NBA superstars, they hold basketball camps. And, you know, a lot of them are invite only. So, obviously, they start to get identified at a very young age. But I think that the NBA needs to be involved somehow, some way.
Well, you can see that they kind of are with this G League thing,
only 18. But it's a step in the right direction.
But the thing that caught my eye was what you get with that. It's like, not only do you get this salary, but you can get agents and endorsements. What's the main thing that we always hear in one of these scandals in the NCAA? It's agents and endorsements.
Yep.
So if you start, you thinking that by the time
you get to the money faster.
By the time they hit 18, you think that's the first time an agent or Nike or Adidas is actually going to come up to these kids? No, they go to the AAU.
But you know what, Nick? I also wanted to point this out too in what you were saying. When the NBA enforced this rule and there were a lot of kids busting out, right? We were trying to project way too hard. Obviously, it's tough to gauge talent level when the competition isn't that good,
mm-hmm.
unless you're just leaps and bounds, like Zion. You see Zion, it doesn't matter who he play against. That dude, he's something different.
Right.
We understand that. But a lot of guys, we were trying to project, and they busted out, right? Mm-hmm. And I would also argue to say that in those early 2000s, late 90s and stuff like that, they weren't these AAU camps or basketball training at such a young age.
Right.
It wasn't like that back then how it is right now. So I think that these kids are better younger. And I don't think that everybody's a superstar, but we have more basketball players per draft that belong in the NBA, even undrafted. You're the New York rookie.
The number 14.
Yeah.
I forgot his
name. He's nice. He's super nice.
Yeah, I forgot his name.
Knox?
No. Tier? Is it Tier?
He's a guard.
He was dunking on the Hawks.
Yeah, that dude's super nice. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that there's a real influx of talent, and I don't think that we need to have in the NBA that 18 year old rule. You know, you got to be 19 to get into the league. Right. I think you should be able to go straight from high school now. I think these kids are more ready.
Yeah, Alonzo Trier, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm. So he's nice.
I'm not saying, you know. I get you.
I was watching pieces of the Knicks and Hawks game. Tim Hardaway Jr. was getting loose out there. I didn't notice that. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, they say he's a sleeper this season as far as like he might have finally put it all together.
Right,
like,
right.
He was projected.
He was playing like he had it.
He does that every now and then. I want to see it for a full season.
Yeah, I know. Now he's gonna kind of be the guy a little bit. Yeah, so that's gonna be interesting. So, what you think about the second game or the opening night, the Warriors and OKC?
Very interesting. In terms of the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
It was good to see him back. Steph looked like he won it,
man.
You know, he came out, he set the tone,
just assassin, wasn't he?
He looked like he won it. I don't understand that call on KD after that crossover.
Yeah,
that was nasty.
I don't understand that either.
I think he crossed him so bad. It was like he did something.
You know, it's gonna be interesting seeing once Schroeder get in the backup rhythm, because I can see him and Russell Westbrook playing in the backcourt a lot.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I noticed about the NBA, especially yesterday's game, I was, you know, going through a lot of them, is that it's a lot of three-guard rotations going on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm seeing a lot of, two-point guards and a shooting guard, you know, mm-hmm. playing. And,
it's getting smaller.
Yeah.
Who said it? It was one NBA player. I think he was saying they're trying to erase the big man.
JaVale McGee was saying
that. Yeah, like they slowly, but that's why you kind of see more. Like, but, look at Boston. Like, they really don't, outside of Al Horford, you don't really need
Baines. Well, they got Baines provides something. Come on now. I think you need at least one true big guy.
But speaking of that, I think whatchamacallit, he can bring that back a little bit. Aiden, my man from Phoenix.
Hey, he ready.
You know what? Man, he did some Shaq-like stuff.
Wait, you want a hot take?
What was a hot take?
Phoenix might make the playoffs, bro.
That's not a bad hot take. I can see that. I can see them being 8 or 7.
Yeah, I was going to wait 10 games to see what they actually do as far as
Devin Booker,
Yes. Christ. But you know what? I didn't know that they had the veterans that they had, and they just signed Jamal Crawford, too.
Mm-hmm. Trevor Ariza, who bought out.
Yep.
Remember I was telling you before?
Yep. So they're a starting point guard away from being a really good team.
Kemba Walker.
If they can facilitate that,
please come to the man.
If he goes to the Suns,
What if this happens? What if the Suns trade one of their picks, because they probably gonna have a first round pick again, top 10 or maybe
this year?
Maybe.
And now they make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, that's more of like,
I got you.
They have enough young talent. They put it all together quickly. They
I got you.
Probably be an 8 seed, 7 seed.
Yeah.
Right.
What if they trade one of their first round picks or whatever for Dame Lillard? In Portland.
First of all, if Dame goes there, like, money-wise, it doesn't make sense. That's number one.
Well, they have a lot of rookie contracts, though.
Yeah, so that means that you have to literally almost gut the roster to be able to get Dame.
Because Dame Lillard's on some big money. He got big money.
The only other person that they can give up is Tyson Chandler. But if you're the Blazers,
if you're Portland, you're like,
I'm not taking back Tyson in the number one pick.
Right.
I thought Dame was on, like, his last few years of his contract.
Yeah, but it's per year. So whatever you make per year, you have to come within, I believe it's like 25% of that contract.
And nobody in that contract is like.
So, like, let's say if you make, let's just say you make $10 million a year, the highest player value-wise that you can trade for, let's say, is like $12.5 million, right? So you can go like 25% over what your value of your contract is. But that's about it. So the only person on the Phoenix roster that has a contract like that is Tyson.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because Devin hasn't signed his extension yet. Mm-hmm. And even if he did, it's not hitting this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, I wouldn't trade Devin Booker for Dame. I'm good.
Yeah.
Because you literally have Kobe and Shaq.
Right.
You literally have that.
Yeah. Because that man, Ayton.
He's for real.
He did some moves where I was like, okay, that looked like a young little Shaq. He was bodying dudes out the way, turning around and dunking. I'm like, okay, he's physical.
Exactly.
He's too much for him.
Every time Dallas said, yo, just switch. Okay, bet.
Give me the rock. I'm just going to play. I'm like, okay, so Aiden might bring the big fella back probably.
There's a lot of big men. You know, hold on.
There's a lot of big men. What?
Yeah, you know what? I had
back
this
to the basket, big man,
bruh. I had this conversation with a coworker. If we go through the teams, pull up all the teams real quick, B, and I'll start with some of them. Right, like Sam Adams. He's a true big man. He's a big man's big man. Right.
Wait, hold on. What is your definition of big man? I think that's where you have to start off as far as in this era, because I feel like you've been. The big man that you always preached
like
about.
I mean, like Shaq, Duncan, like back to the basket. Yeah. So give me the ball right here on this block.
So that's
I'm
your
not shooting no threes.
What do you call a Joel Embiid?
He's a big man because he still does what Shaq and Duncan did. He's just added to. Right?
Okay,
so he plays more in this era as well. But if you put Joel Embiid back in them days, he would have still dominated.
Indiana.
Miles Turner. No. He's not a real big.
So we already said Phoenix.
Okay.
We already got Phoenix.
Yeah, we got Phoenix.
New York Knicks.
New York Knicks. Cantor. Kind of, sort of.
He's a big.
Yeah, he's a traditional big.
New Orleans.
Oh, you got
Anthony Davis. Anthony is not.
Yeah, but he's not really their center.
Yeah, that's what
but
I'm saying.
But he, back to the basket?
No, but he's not their center. He's really their power forward.
Yeah, we're going by centers.
Oh, okay. So who starts at
Miritich?
The big man?
Is that Miritich?
No, Miritich is power forward.
Yeah, but he don't start.
I think they just start both of them then. Because somebody has to be.
Okay, fine. So AD doesn't count, but it is what it is.
Okay,
next team.
Boston.
Al Horford. Al Horford got back to the basket moves.
Denver.
Yes. Jokic, right? Jokic.
He's not a back to the basket guy.
But he can. He does everything.
Just because you can doesn't mean you are.
But Arvydas Sabonis wasn't considered back to the basket big. B. He's this version. Yeah. He's
but
this
I'm saying
era's
the way Arvydas. The way he scored last season, and because we're only going off of one game, the way he scored last season, he was not a back to.
I agree because he facilitates a lot, right? So he faces the basket more than he's back to the basket.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is he does have that true skill set, and he is a big man. He don't play small, right? Because there's some big men that play small. The one in Denver, Jokic, whichever one, he plays big. Does he not? I wouldn't say that he's a soft big man. I think when I hear this era's big man, it means you soft. You out in the perimeter. You don't bang. You don't do nothing.
So you just do bang.
Yeah, he bangs.
See, like I think more. What's my man from Boston? We used to have him. Baines. I see him more of like a center than Al Horford.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. I always said Al Horford was like a power forward.
He bangs. He ain't scared to. He ain't scared to touch. He ain't scared to take a charge. He ain't scared to get dunked on. He gonna still come at you like that. So okay, next Golden State.
Golden State. Damn, yeah, Boogie. Boogie.
Boogie's back to the basket.
Boogie's a banger. Yes,
he is.
Boogie got everything.
I think you're confused because he do shoot the three, but
he shoots a lot of perimeter shots.
But he shoots a lot in the paint too.
But if you want Boogie to be like, look,
no, he
stay down that block.
That's my thing. That's why I asked
the
definition.
You going with guys that strictly on the block?
Well, like the guys who is like, that's their spot. Like,
I got
don't go in my spot.
But I think to me that's not the definition of a big man.
You talking about the Shaqs, Hakeem Olajuwon?
What I'm talking about is the guys today,
right? Today.
That still have that skill set. Okay. It doesn't have to be your primary skill set, but that they can still do that.
So you're thinking about primary skill set?
Yeah. I'm thinking about how do you make your bread and butter moves, that type of stuff.
Okay, right. And Boogie don't have bread and butter moves in the post?
He does, I'm saying, but that's not where he gets most of his points from. That's my thing.
He gets them all over. He gets them in the paint. He gets them mid-range. He gets them three-point. He gets them everywhere.
Toronto.
So wait, hold on. Because Nick, like you're trying to compare eras of what big men is. And that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is in that era that you're talking about, those guys primarily played back to the basket.
You're talking
about,
so you're saying overall big men who can play back to the basket.
Yes.
Who just can play it.
That can play it.
Okay.
That have that skill set.
And my thing, and the question I had posed was, can Ayton bring that, like, the Shaq and Duncan's, where it's like he don't even shoot three. His primary skill set is that block. Can Ayton bring that back?
But Ayton shoots 15 to 18 footers.
That's like the Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah.
Shit,
and even KG shot some threes toward the,
Man, Ayton
later.
Was punishing fools down low. I didn't even see him step out that paint.
15, 18.
Not saying
he
that
got
can't.
That too.
Not saying that he can't.
I saw him make a couple shots because that's what I was looking at his highlights in preseason. And I was surprised that he could actually put like 15 to 18.
Yeah. He could take you off the dribble there too.
I was looking at his form too, because that's the thing about big men. That's why I think Shaq. Pretty. I think Shaq could have averaged probably 40 a game if he had a decent shot. Like,
of course.
It's just that
he didn't need it. And that's not how he was built. But let's keep going down the list.
Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah, Vucevic.
Utah, Gobert. Orlando.
Bamba and
Isaac.
No. The other bitch.
Yeah. Like something bitch or something like that. He got a funny name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I forgot. I can't pronounce his name.
I can't think of his name
either. Narka?
No, not him. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Y'all know who we're talking about, man. Yeah. You know I'm bad with names.
Yeah, bad. I'm horrible name. Detroit.
Of course. Andre Drummond.
You see the game he had yesterday? Man, they had me on pins and needles yesterday. Yeah, 24 points, 20 boards. I was like, there you go, boy.
Yeah.
San Antonio.
I think LaMarcus, Pau Gasol, but yeah. Nah. Yeah. He's definitely.
I would say LA more than Gasol.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge.
But he's not even.
But he's not a center.
Yeah, he's not a center, and he doesn't have power game. Like his back to the basket is fadeaways. It's finesse. So no.
Milwaukee.
Who they have?
Nobody.
Yeah, Thon Maker. No,
they definitely new age. Yeah, they pointless. They're positionless.
That's a positionless team.
Yeah, Lakers.
Yeah, JaVale.
No.
I take that back.
He's a great pick and roll center.
Yes, and he's a rim protector. But he's an old school type of center, right? Like DeAndre Jordan. Will we not say DeAndre Jordan is a center? A different version.
We're talking about JaVale McGee. Every point guard to JaVale McGee, or anybody who's the passing kind of, because he's with LeBron now, so he's a passing point guard, I guess.
Yeah, he's a finisher.
They need to claim JaVale McGee on his taxes because he's dependent on them. He cannot score without.
He's a good pick and roll center.
He can pick and roll, man. But he needs a point guard to give him the ball. And
of course.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, just like DeAndre.
Yep.
Portland. Yeah.
Yeah, they got him.
Yep. Washington.
Yeah, Dwight.
Chicago.
Who they got?
Is it? We don't know what he is.
Is it Brooke? No.
Robin Lopez. Robin Lopez.
Now, Lauri Markkanen is a four.
I was talking about the dude from Duke they drafted this year.
From Duke? William Carter?
He's a four, though.
Yeah, he's a four.
The
reason why they didn't extend Bobby Portis, if y'all peeping that, I think they're going to let Bobby walk,
Bobby walk,
too.
Yeah.
I would let him walk, too.
He's nice, though.
But
He's nice. A dog. He's like a Taj Gibson. Like, you like him on your team, but
I like Bobby Portis,
You ain't going to pay for Taj Gibson, though.
You pay him nice. You pay him 4 year, $44 million. That's the nice contract. That's like, hey, we value you, but don't get carried away.
NBA got so rich that they can just pay 40.
I know, right? Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Taj Gibson.
Minnesota, Cat.
Of course.
Brooklyn.
Cat soft, though.
Who Brooklyn? Oh, yeah. What's his name? Keep blocking Blake. He's a traditional big. Jared Allen.
Miami.
Yeah, Hassan.
Sacramento.
Willie Cauley's a rim runner. He don't got no back to
back. I ain't going to say.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Charlotte.
Kaminsky? Is he their five?
Kaminsky?
Is he?
You said Kaminsky?
Yeah. Frank.
We'll pass. Yeah. Okay, so they don't have one.
OKC?
Yeah, Sam Adams.
Yeah.
Clippers?
Who Clippers got now? Who they started five?
Ain't DeAndre no more. Houston?
Yep. Clint Capella. Well, he don't really have back to the basket, though. He's a rim protector, pick and roll guy.
Yeah. Cleveland?
Yeah, Tristan or K-Love, whoever they.
But those are both four. If you was going by your definition, those
that's true.
Fours. They're not really
that's true.
Fives.
I'll give you that.
Dallas, DeAndre Jordan.
Yep. Well, no, because we say he's a pick and roll guy.
Philly.
Yeah,
of course.
And Memphis.
Of course. Marc Gasol.
Atlanta.
I don't even know who they got.
Well, because they play John Collins at the 4-5. And he does have back to the basket game a little. It's not like predominant. He's more of a face up guy. And then Dwayne Deadman.
But
the majority of the teams have a legit big man though, right?
For the most part.
But how the ones we named, like which one are really affecting the game like a big man?
Boogie, Joel, DeAndre,
young Aiden will be.
You know, so what I'm saying is, it's about a third, maybe a little bit more of the league that still has a big man that you play through.
I'll give you that. I wanted to go back to OKC for a little bit.
Okay, mm-hmm.
At first when I watched that game, I was like, damn, they really don't have any shooters. Like, they don't have anybody that can really get
like
their,
a knockdown shooter.
And then,
yeah.
And then I looked away at the game for a little bit. Then I came back and I was like, damn, it's still close. Like, they made it close. I thought OKC, I mean, Golden State was just going to blow them out.
Yeah, they took their foot off the pedal a little bit.
So when I looked back, I was like, it's close. But then, like, when you really need it, I realized that Paul George, he has, after that game, even though it was the first game, it's overreaction week, he has solidified himself as a number two option as far as he cannot be a number one. Like, I don't
You don't think he's number one?
Think he's a max player.
Yeah, you know,
he's a max player in Oklahoma because they need bodies.
Right. Whoa!
But you know, I don't see him as a max player. He should have took that game.
But here's the thing, though: max player means top three guy on the team. That's what it means. You competing for championships. Max guy is a top three guy on your team. That is what it is. And Paul George, you know what? I agree with you, by the way. But I think what happened, it was the injury. Because I think pre-injury, he was the best guy on the championship team.
So you think that leg, ever since he broke that leg.
He still think about it every time he go to the hole?
No, I don't think he thinks about it. I just don't think he has the same explosiveness that he once had. Yeah. Because remember what he was doing to LeBron James?
In Indiana.
Come on, man. How many guys in the playoffs score 40 mano-mano with Bron? We talking Paul Pierce. Mm-hmm. You know, we talking the greatest of the great. You know what I'm saying? To score 40 against Bron like that. And for PG to do that young and actually winning games in the playoffs against that Miami Heat squad, I think he was on that trajectory. And then I think that injury it knocked him down a bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's the same explosive. How many times have we seen him dunk on people since the injury? Right? It's brought him down a little bit.
Westbrook was asking him to do that a lot last year. He's like, damn, why? I think he did it once. And he was like, why don't you keep doing it? Like what's up?
You don't have it like that.
And what stood out to me about that shooting, the lack of shooting, is that when you play, this is the team that you have to, like, this is the team that you're preparing your whole year for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once Westbrook gets back, yes, you'll get some added points and added scoring, but when he goes on the bench or when PG both need to rest, like, where do you get that from? I saw Grant try to do the best he could, but really, he looks clumsy. He looks clumsy outside that
kid's
free throw.
Yeah, he's a finisher.
And then who else? You're relying on Schroeder as your third option? Like, I can't really see that. I can't really see them going further than second round.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I completely agree. Yeah, I don't see OKC making that much.
And then that makes me think about, I'm really going to look at tonight with the Lakers, how LeBron, because a lot of people are picking LeBron and the Lakers to go Western Conference Finals, maybe win over 50 games.
Well, but here's the thing, right? Last year in the Western Conference playoffs, 3 through 8 was separated by 2 games. Every team that made the playoffs in the West won better than 47 games. So guess what? You want to make the playoffs, you got to get to 50. 50 is the magic number. So they got to do it. They got to do it.
That squad, if the Thunder don't look really good without 2 of their best players, or even just 1 best player, like, you think LeBron as the only first option? But it's a big gap and big distance between him and their second option.
Of course.
So it's where are you getting that from?
But here's the thing, though.
And he's on limited minutes. The coach already said.
Well, Luke said that he wants to limit his minutes. Bron said, bro, look, I'm Bron.
Okay, I'm glad you're in that mindset because that's the downfall of Luke. You can already see how he's losing. He's the head coach, but you are already seeing, okay, this is some BS. LeBron's team.
Well, of course. But at the end of the day, it's the coach's job to try to protect the player. And you want to send out the right message. However, we've never seen the specimen that is called LeBron James before. He's never been injured. Knock on wood. This is real world table. You know what I'm saying? He's never been injured. Has the minutes slowed him down? We see his contemporaries, D-Wade, farewell tour. We see him Melo struggling for 2 straight seasons. Because I still think that, like, what
it's
we
It's only
see,
1 season. Come on. It's just happening.
But look, man. Look. The shots that Melo get, he's supposed to be making those.
He's supposed to be making those, man.
He has to get – I just
look,
told
you. What you mean? Look.
He has to get comfortable,
Nick,
man.
Nick.
As a point guard.
Do you hoop?
Yeah, I hoop. I feel you.
But what type of player were you?
I was more of a 3-and-D kind of guy.
Right. So I'm a point guard. I play with a lot of bucket getters. Bucket getters get buckets, bro. And when they get open buckets, we dominate. Because as a point guard, it's my job to get you open shots. He's playing with this era's arguably best pure point guard of this generation, right?
Yes, I agree.
Did he not get open shots yesterday?
He did. But my
Wait, hold on. Did he not get open shots in OKC?
He did.
And he's missing the open ones.
Can I get a rebuttal?
What's up?
My rebuttal is, as a scorer, as a shooter, as you mentioned, do they not have cold games?
Of course.
And I give you the last season as being one of his worst, because obviously it was. The numbers and everything, and the eye test showed it. But I can easily tell that you're overreacting to one game against what arguably might be the MVP of the season in Anthony Davis. Give him time. Give him time. Nah, he just bounced around. This is technically his fourth team in, in a year?
Yeah, 2 years.
In like 2 years. So it's like, give him time to get used to the squad. He still has a lot of stuff that he still has to find his position, his pocket to excel.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be some adjustment for him to make coming off the bench. Especially this is his first time ever coming off the bench.
Exactly. You have to get used to you have to rev your engine up differently.
You know what? I hear all of this, but the reason why I don't believe it, because I've been saying Melo was over for a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not brand new for me. You know, so I've seen him over the course of the last 3-4 years closely.
You like, you know, it's a wrap.
And it's a wrap. You don't see it. Obviously, Melo's.
So you think he should retire, or you think he should just be in this bench role, like come off the bench role?
I think for right now, he can still play the bench.
Okay.
But I think that his day, he got maybe 2 more years, if that.
This is Wade's final year, and he came in the same draft.
Yeah, I think it's a wrap for Carmelo. I don't think the Melo that we fell in love with, the Melo that go get buckets, the bully guy, the first step quick guy off the elbow, the hesitation guy, he's not that no more, because he can't hit the jumper anymore.
We'll see. I'm not gonna say anything more. I'm gonna let the stats prove it.
That's cool.
If he's terrible,
would you draft him on your fantasy team?
Nope, I didn't draft him.
All right then.
He was still sitting there in the 12th round. I was like,
for where he was at, I drafted him, and it was a great value pick.
Okay, Mr. Loser GM.
Hey, I'm just letting you. Hey, my squad, I got the best squad in the league. B already looked at the squad. He's like, hey,
man.
I got Kyrie.
Oh, you
I
got your squad up?
I got Durant. I got Klay Thompson. I got Chris Paul.
Oh, talk about Klay. So you know how we were kind of recapping what we've seen and all of that throughout the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson been in the gym. You see how the dribble moves. Mm-hmm. He getting a step back. He's like, yo, I'm just not catching shoot no more.
Hey, he grew that light skinned beard. You know what that means? he ready. He one of them Drake lyric that type niggas. Like,
you think he gonna stay like?
I don't know.
They all saying the right things except for KD. I think the only one you can guarantee saying is not going to be there in the 2019-2020 season is KD.
Especially if they win this year.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he's like, I'm three rings. Possibly a three finals MVP.
Most likely. You
know? Wow. He'd be like, I did my work here.
You know what's funny about that, too, is that will this go down as like one of the greatest teams ever, dynasty?
Of course.
And Steph Curry, the person you say is the most important player on that team throughout this whole course.
Never won a finals MVP.
Never won a finals MVP.
That would be crazy.
But he won MVP 2 years in a row.
Yep. Yeah,
in that process. And
unanimous.
And unanimous, the first time ever. Yeah. And the 3-point record in the season.
Yeah, but Westbrook, I would say Westbrook won a MVP on a bad team, being Mr. Triple-Double.
That's something that wasn't done since like 71.
I understand. And he did it back to back. He didn't even get a vote.
Exactly. He didn't get a vote. That's crazy. My main point was he did it back to back, didn't even get a vote.
That's crazy.
So that shows you that they don't really.
It was insane.
He kind of watered down the triple double.
No, I don't think he watered it down.
He didn't water it down.
Well, who is Mr. Triple Double?
Oscar Robertson.
Yeah.
Big O.
He averaged it for several seasons.
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's because we didn't see it for so long. And then the way Westbrook plays, like he's on 1,000 from the moment the tip goes off. You know what I'm saying?
Every game counts.
Every game.
That was something I thought I wasn't going to see.
Exactly. Man. So for him to do that, it was kind of like, okay, man, you
the MVP, though.
Nah, I agree.
The second time is like, okay, we know you can do that. Like now it's kind of, it's the next step. Because if you look at a lot of MVPs, they don't repeat, right? Like, only the greatest of the great repeat as NBA MVP guys.
Like, what, Jordan did it? Jordan. LeBron did it?
I think Magic.
Was kind of like,
yeah, no, LeBron did it. Okay. He won like two or three in a row. I think he's only like one or two players that ever do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's tough because every year you're supposed to get better. And can we honestly say, has Russ gotten better, or that first MVP, or where he is right now, I think he's hit a ceiling.
Well, I was going to say, you have to look deeper within the numbers, as far as just like in the NFL, when you see a guy throw for all these yards and all this stuff, mm-hmm. like a Kirk Cousins, for example, he throws up a lot of numbers, but you got to watch the game and see, like, are those just like garbage time? Was that, did that first down really mean anything at that point in the game, mm-hmm. or that touchdown or whatever? It's like with Westbrook, it's like, you get all these assists and rebounds, but your team still is on like a 3-game, 4-game losing streak.
Yeah, but he still makes the playoffs, right, in the tougher conference.
He does.
So you know, you got to give him the props, because we give him a lot of flack when they lose.
No, I mess with Westbrook, but I'm just, at the same time, just like I was saying last episode with Giannis, is like, you could put up all these great numbers if you want to, but if your team ain't really doing that well, then we stop talking about you after April or May.
Giannis balled out too, man. Mm-hmm.
Jesus, man, that made too long.
I know, man. He was ball. He almost had a triple double. Like, it was easy.
I don't know why it just hit me, but Detroit center is Boban. That's a true big man. Because did you see that dunk he had? Because when you say Giannis, I was thinking about length.
Yeah.
When he dunked without jumping.
When he didn't even jump at all. Because he's like 7'3". But his wingspan is like insane. So, yeah, that's why. But
yeah, Giannis is stupid.
I know we already talked about Boston Philly, but obviously with the Philly game on, what's up with your boy Fultz, man? You gonna come at Melo? I gotta come at Fultz.
That's cool. You know what I'm saying?
What do he look like?
All I'm saying is Melo is on the downward spiral.
I didn't ask him about that.
Fultz is on the way up. You know what I'm saying? There's only one way for Fultz, and that's the way up.
The only time he all the way up is when he listen to Fat Joe and Remy Ma. Because right now, I think I got
a hot take that I think FIFA is gonna appreciate. This is, man, watching that damn Philly game and Celtics game, I think I might be on that bandwagon, and Ben Simmons is the best
player in the NBA. I was a year early.
Dude.
The dog. I'm telling you, he up there.
He had a nice pass to Fultz, that behind the back. Yep. Yeah.
Man, it was pass that dude was doing. I was like, dude. I mean, he was finding him such in the pocket. I was like, wait a minute. What is going on here? I'm like, no. It was like Magic, Jason Kidd, and Isaiah like rolled up, all balled up in one, the way he was passing that ball, man. I was like, I think I might have to give it to FIFA on this one, man. Like, I think Ben Simmons is the best passer in the league. Yeah. I think he's past LeBron, dude. Like, he's the best pass in the league, man.
He can make
every single pass. It's not a bad pass that guy can't make. It's like, that's insane, man. When I see him, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that one with Fultz. I was I'm thinking he about to go for the layup. He was like, scoop. I was like, oh.
Because he left Kyrie dazed. Yes, Kyrie was like, oh, stop.
But that's my main thing is like, I'm interested to see what he will be. Cause
his J will get better,
but looking at those passes, his mentality isn't to score, cause he breaks anybody off the dribble and gets to the basket, basically like it's a cha cha slide to the rim. But at the same time, even when he gets to the basket, he'll kick it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like that LeBron thing that people don't like, is as far as you two pass.
No, but you know what? That a pure point guard is typically going to be like, I question.
I'm just saying, he's too big to be a pure point guard.
No, I feel you. And I questioned when they was going to put him at point. I said, look, man, I think he's great, but I don't know.
I wouldn't.
But yeah, B wasn't. Yeah. B was 100%.
Because I saw him in college, because I watched him a lot in LSU. So I was like, nah.
B was 100% with it. I questioned it, but I'm 100% with it now. Right. And I think that even though he's that big, his mentality is never going to change of be pass first, but I think what's going to change is the confidence in the jumper to take the ones that he doesn't take.
He don't shoot.
He just attacks.
He'll be
and he'll post.
He'll be wide open. Yeah. Not even looking to pass the ball. I'm
exactly.
Like, bro.
So the thing is, what's the rule?
He's always looking. He's always looking.
Yeah, but even now, Rondo was like that too. But even now,
Rondo's trying to shoot.
Like, yeah. And that's how you get better. You have to keep shooting.
But here's the thing. How long did it take Rondo to get there?
Right.
And also, what's the FIFA theory? It takes 3 to 5.
3 to 5 years.
What year is this technically for Ben?
Second year.
Yeah. Right? So it's still too early. 3 to 5. Give him 3 to 5.
It took Bron about 3 years when he started getting a respectable jump shot. Because, you know, when Bron first came in the league, he wasn't that shooter.
But, like, okay, so if you said that, how long is their window?
Oh, their window's like 10 years.
But listen, they're in this, like, there's a lot of young talent within that conference. You still have the Bucks.
Of course.
You still have the Celtics, of course. Of course. They're not getting any older. And then you also, Indiana's still young.
But here's the thing. You know how you overcome all of that? By having the best player in the conference. And arguably, Embiid is the best player in the conference.
He's not the best player in the conference.
I said arguably.
I don't even think it's an argument. I think Giannis is.
All I'm saying is I could put Joel Embiid on the same level as any of. I could put him on the same level as Giannis, Kawhi, Kyrie, whoever.
Jason Tatum.
Joel Embiid is up there.
He's up there. You can arguably say that.
He affects both sides of the court. You know what I'm saying? He can guard guards. Have we not seen him go out there, move his feet, contest jumpers on the best of the guards?
Ben Simmons got a triple double, 13 points, 11 rebounds, 11 assists.
Too easy. He might average a triple double this year.
This dude,
he could.
Man.
He could.
Yeah, he really
this
can.
This guy, man. It's Jesus too easy Christ. For him. It is. It's really so. It's so easy for him, man. It's like, golly, man. That dude is crazy, man.
Yeah. So to overcome all of that young talent, because I agree, Nick. You know, the East is not as bad. I just feel because the West.
They have all the vets. They have all the great vets. The West
they do.
The East has all the great young talent.
The up and coming.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? They have the up and coming. And I could also say that the West teams have drafted better than East teams as well. You know what I'm saying? Because you can see the Dames, the CJ McCollum.
Donovan Mitchell.
You know,
Donovan.
Yo,
Donovan.
Hey, that guy right there, boy. When I tell you he got the tightest spin in the NBA, his spin move, ridiculous.
He might be a mix between. He's a Dwayne Wade that can score.
He is.
Don't bring
he is
him up because the Pistons could have got him. We drafted Luke Kennard over him. I cannot believe that.
You should have been mad at the Pistons when they drafted dude over Melo.
Oh, Darko. Yeah. Oh, that's still the worst. To me, that's the worst draft pick ever in NBA history. Like, that's the worst draft pick. We still don't forgive Joe Dumars for that. Like, that's crazy.
You go get the guy. Melo was the guy.
Was the guy.
Especially with the team that you already had. Exactly. Put him around that.
Man, yep. What?
Championship.
We would have won at least two more on top of the one we had beat against the Lakers.
Because think about, you talk about positionless basketball. How you, Carmelo, a young Carmelo, Tayshaun, and Rasheed Wallace.
Rip Hamilton.
Rip.
Chauncey.
Oh my God! I just,
that's what I'm saying,
because all of those guys, like you know, Rasheed was always like an 18 point game a guy. Mm-hmm. Chauncey was around there too.
Ben Wallace with the defense.
Rip was around there too. Man, but Melo was the guy in that team. He could have went and got you 30. And if all of those guys just played a decent game,
let me ask y'all this though: this is the only monkey in the wrench I'd have thrown in that situation if we would have got Melo with his. At that time, immature, and he admitted it, with his immature attitude and how stern Larry Brown was.
I think it was too many vets. It's too many vets for him not to be corrected or like to
you
get.
You think so?
That had to rub. It would have to rub off, especially the way they play. Is like, because they would already defer to him offensively.
Because I used to always worry about
like,
that.
Yeah, just like,
because
like,
Larry Brown.
But let's be honest. Larry got or understood AI.
Yeah.
I think he would have figured it out.
Melo was more of a head case than AI.
Yeah. Man, yeah, I always wonder about that. Like, if him and Larry Brown would have matched. But you're right. I think Rasheed Wallace would have. They would have straightened them up real quick.
Like, bro, like
Rasheed and Ben.
Yeah, they would have straightened them up real
quick.
Those
two thugs in the locker room. Melo was skinny as hell too at the time. Like,
yeah,
nah.
They would have straightened them up. So I always wonder about that, man. But yeah, never forget Joe Dumars for that, man. His only saving grace that year in that same draft was we won a championship that following year. But man,
so did we talk about Luka? We need to talk about Luka.
From Dallas?
Yeah.
And that was the one game I didn't even watch. I forgot completely.
If you talk
about
Luka,
you
got to talk about Atlanta, too. Because I think right, that, that's
talk about we, Atlanta.
Okay.
That's cool.
So, yeah. So how did he do?
Luka got a natural feel for the game.
How do you think? I was like, how do you think he did? That man is.
He was balling?
He's showcased as he was showcased to be.
Yeah.
Where was Dark at? I didn't see Dark.
Yeah. There was a couple of veterans that aren't going to play like the first like week or so in the NBA.
Okay.
Is Dirk. Harrison Barnes is out. And somebody else was out
okay,
as well.
Okay, but he was nice.
Nice, man. Nice. It, you know, the thing is, you always talk about complementary players, mm-hmm. right? Like when I look at Portland, I don't think that Dame and CJ are complementary. I think they're the same guy. Mm-hmm. They score the same way. They get other people involved the same way. Not saying that they can't play together,
right.
but their skill sets don't complement each other. Dennis Smith and Luka complement each other really? Because Dennis Smith is a guy that wants to break you off the dribble, go yam on you. You know what I'm saying?
Man, kinda, that dude's so explosive, man.
So explosive.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? He's the dynamic guy, where Luka is the guy that can, you know what I'm saying? He's the crafty guy. He's the setup guy. You know what I'm saying? So their skill sets complement. Also, Luka is a better shooter than Dennis Smith.
You know who he reminds me of?
Hmm.
This era's Ginobili.
You know what? I think Luka is a mix of a lot of guys. You know who else I see in this game, too? I see Tony Kukoc.
Really?
The hesitation, the size.
Really?
The
because he's a big point guard, right?
A big point guard. Yeah. You know, Tony was a point forward before the term was created. You know what I'm saying? Like him and Scotty. Wow. So I really like what I see out of Luka. I like what I see out of Dallas. I think it'll be interesting. I hope they make the playoffs for Dallas' sake, right? So that way, because I always say this, Nick.
We throwing too many teams in the playoffs. We got to do a list.
I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs. I said I would like to see them make the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're going to make it. I would like to see them make it because it expedites experience. You know what I'm saying?
Like what Boston had last year.
Exactly. That's the reason why Jason Tatum, these guys, they take major leaps forward because you played playoff basketball. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Giannis 2-3 years ago, right? Yep. We were like, hey, we saw it. We thought he was going to take that leap.
I remember.
You know what I'm saying? Like playoff basketball is where you make your name. And I think that Luka and Dennis Smith need that. And they need it as early as possible. Not saying that they are, mm-hmm. but for Dallas, they need to. For the Hawks' sake,
it's like a next era because you know Dirk is pretty much on his last leg. Yeah. So you need you draft that guy. You got Dennis Smith Jr. So you need that next step of guys to kind of take it to the next level. So that's why. That's why it's important for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
What's up, y'all?
What's up?
So you mentioned the Hawks. Like you hope mm-hmm. that he doesn't progress because obviously that's going to reflect on Atlanta messing up.
Nah, not at all. I wish all of the success to Luka. I just don't want them to make the playoffs, so that way the Hawks get 2 picks in the lottery.
You talking about that?
Yeah, okay. I'm talking about the picks, baby. Because Atlanta is building the right core. I like what they're doing.
I disagree. I think they made a mistake by trading for Trae Young and not getting the guy from Dallas. Because Trae Young, you talk about size. That's the only player where that argument I completely agree with. Because looking at that game against the Knicks, he looked irrelevant until obviously it was garbage time, and that's when he was just chucking up shots. Because he had Trey Burke body him. And Trey Burke is about, 6 foot, if anything? 180 pounds with wet.
But at this point, Trey Burke is an NBA vet. You know what I'm saying? He done had to play against the Kyries and the Russells. He has trade secrets now.
No,
right?
I get that, but... That's not what I'm – it's not like he got him on some crossover set. No, he just said, give me the ball. I'm going to back it. When you see Trey Burke backing down, that's what I'm saying.
But we're talking about a one-and-done guy.
They do that to Curry too, by the way.
Thank you, Ken. And we're talking about a one-and-done guy that just got to the NBA. He – what's the rule again?
3 to 5.
Give him 3 to 5. The first 2 years in the NBA is for guys to get a feel for the game. Right. And in that, what you want to see are glimpses of what these guys can be. The consistency is not going to be there, especially for guys the size of Trae Young. He's just not physically ready.
Haven't the Hawks tried to do this type of formula twice now? This is the second time. As far as
what was the first time?
The first time they were trying to get a Spurs team. And that team constructed. They were trying to imitate the Spurs organization as far as how they were.
Yeah, when they got Bud, Coach Bud.
And then they went to the Eastern Conference Finals and got swept. Mm-hmm. Then
that's in the past.
That's now. And now you're trying to do Curry and the Golden State system.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to create your own thing. You know,
I think it's part Curry, but I also think they're trying to sell tickets too, and they know Trae Young is excitable, mm-hmm. and he come in and he'll start jacking up threes. Like he became a brand name in college on a pedestrian team. They put his team in the tournament because of him, because they didn't deserve to go. But Trae Young deserved to go, and he put on a show. So I think Doncic and Trae are comparable. I think Doncic fits well within that organization in Dallas because of Dirk and the history they had with Dirk. The Hawks would have messed up Doncic if they would have.
I don't see how.
Because you know what?
It's
look,
the Hawks, bro.
That's number one.
So then why you got so much faith in
Trae? Never trust a Georgia team.
Yeah, you can't. You know. I still have faith that will be broken one day. However, the there's a complete regime change with the Atlanta Hawks, right? They got rid of the GM. They got, obviously, Coach Bud left on, went to Milwaukee. This was a sexy move, right? Mm-hmm. But it was also, I believe, savvy. It wasn't just sexy, it was savvy. And in the past, we haven't seen Atlanta make the right move. And I'm not saying that this is 100% the right move, but it doesn't feel like a bad one. It doesn't feel like a bonehead move, right? Especially, like I said, for Dallas' sake, I want them to make the playoffs so that way Dennis Smith and Luka can progress as players and really establish themselves as the guys in the league. But for the Hawks' sake, I hope they don't make it. So that way we have two picks, hopefully, in the top 10. You know, because now when you couple, you know, the talent that's coming out this year with the Zions and the Cam Reddishes and the RJ Barretts of the world, right? And you can potentially get two of those guys in addition to Trae Young, in addition to Taurean Prince, in addition to John Collins. Mm-hmm. Like we have a plethora of young talent. Now, does that mean that everybody's going to stay? No, we're going to have to wheel and deal. Some guys, they're not going to get paid. I think one of the first guys that we're probably going to move is going to be Kemp Bazemore when we got to start paying other guys that and stuff like that.
Been moved on him.
You know what I'm saying? But I think he's a nice transitional guy, right? Like he went from being the Golden State cheerleader to being the veteran guy on a young team, which is very important. And we know he's a consummate pro. He's going to teach these guys what they need because he had to earn his stripes. It wasn't given to him. So again, from the whole organization perspective, I like what they got going. Who else did they sign? Who's a old Wiley vet on this team? Vince Carter. You see what I'm saying? So they understand where they are. They understand the moment and they understand how to build. So we've never had that. Well, all we had was, you know, pull the trigger. Go sign ISO Joe to $200 million. Yep. Go sign Josh Smith.
Marvin Williams.
We drafted Marvin Williams, number two or number three, over CP and Darren.
This isn't Chris Paul all over.
Exactly. Like this has no remnants of all of those past blunders. This feels new. It feels innovative. It feels just how living in Atlanta feels now. It's just ever changing. We have a literal changing of the guard right now. And I like how it feels. I'm not saying, again, that he's the greatest guy. I just don't feel that it was a mistake making the move they made, especially if Dallas does not make the playoffs.
I just think that he's just overdrafted. I just think he was overdrafted. I think it was an unnecessary move. You had a perfect player right there.
Not necessarily, because if you look at the Hawks, right, and how we were constructed, we paid Schroeder. Mm-hmm. We didn't pay him max money, right, but we paid him his value. And we saw that he couldn't take the team over the top, right? Like, you couldn't make this your team. Right. They didn't have anything else. Obviously, you're not going to attract other free agents, but they tried. They paid the guys that they needed to pay and it didn't work. So they've moved on. So the thing is that if you don't get Trae Young, who do you get in this draft to move you through? Because Luka, I like Luka, but you have Taurean. You got other guys that kind of play that have that size. Right. So is Luka? I don't think he's a point guard. I think he's a two.
Yeah,
I still think that you need another ball handler with him. You know what I'm saying? A la a Dennis Smith. I like Dennis Smith with him because Dennis Smith is like Steve Francis. You know what I'm saying? You're going to come get this work. I'm going to drop 20, 30, 40 maybe on you. And Luka can score 16 and have his fingerprints all over the game and be more dominant than Dennis Smith scoring 40. But the Hawks didn't have that. The Hawks don't have that guy. And I think that by drafting Trae Young, it gives you, at least for now, a number one scoring option. And I also think that it plays into where the NBA is going in extending the defense. Not saying he's Steph Curry, but he's built in that mode. He's a Steph Curry type player. So when you can extend the defense that far and you got great decision makers that are big men with the ball, like John Collins, he's a face up four that can handle. He has high IQ. You're starting to build something that can be sustainable.
And the other thing is the Hawks have managed to do something I haven't seen them do in the past, develop a player. Mm-hmm. Torian Prince yep. has turned into a player.
Yep.
And that came in the Hawks organization. He looked like a bust. Now this dude went up and put 21-6-6 on opening night, and that's a carryover from last year when he finished exactly. the year season strong.
3-5. What year is this for him, number two? Mm. 3-5. He's only going to get better. I think he's the consummate 3-and-D guy. You know who his comparable is? Robert Covington. I think that's what he's going to be. I don't know if he could shoot it at that clip.
Yeah, because
Robert on catch and shoot threes, he was number one in the NBA.
Yep.
So I don't. Yeah, in terms of how many makes, he had 189 makes, and he also shoots close to 40%. I don't know if Torian Prince is that type of shooter, but I think in turn, and he made first team all defense. I don't know if y'all knew that.
Yeah,
Robert Covington, exactly.
Yeah,
he just has such a poor playoff.
I think you forget that. Yeah, you get blind overshadowed about it. Dude was a good defender.
I think that's what Torian Prince can be. I think he's in the perfect mold of Robert Covington. You have that. You have Trae Young. He's only going to get better. He's going to get stronger. Mm. He's going to get smarter in the game. Hopefully, my fingers crossed, I hope they get Zion. You know what I'm saying? John Collins. That's a squad, man.
Then you get the right coach. You got to find
there's
the coach.
I think they got the right coach. There's a lot of ifs with that. I mean, granted, this is rookie year, so we're going to see how the season plays out, and then you just say maybe two more seasons after that. But again, we're going to be looking at both of these players and comparing them.
Of course.
Every game, every year.
Of course. And, I think both of them are going to have major impact for their franchises. When you get drafted that high, and let's be honest, like, these guys have talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, I don't know. Trae Young got talent. I'm just
saying, like, Atlanta moved the world for it to get Trae Young, and I don't know if he's that type of player. Just like with the Lakers drafting Lonzo, I think that was overdraft. He was overdrafted too.
Now so the whole Lonzo thing a year ago, when you looked at that squad, right? They didn't have an identity or direction, right? Lonzo gave them that. Because what we're going to do, we're going to run up and down. We're going to push the ball. He's going to be super unselfish. They have a lot of finishers. They had a lot of catch and shooters. So Lonzo, to me, was the perfect pick for them. Because if you try to bring in a scoring point guard, like let's say they would have brought in Markel, right? Was that the same draft? Yeah,
because
Lonzo
went
to exactly. So let's just say, however it may have happened, but the Lakers draft Markel, or they were able to draft Markel. They don't look and feel like how they would have looked and felt with Lonzo.
Or let's just say, better yet, let's just say Tatum, because Tatum went right after.
Tatum.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they already had too many players at that
exactly.
position.
You have that's another Brandon Ingram. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why Lonzo, even though
Or Dennis Smith. You could have drafted Dennis. I think Dennis Smith was a better rookie than Lonzo.
But Dennis Smith isn't 6'6".
Exactly.
But you already have enough length on the roster
you
already.
You never have enough
Nah.
length.
With the Lakers, I think they got they in that same category with Milwaukee. They might have too much length, not enough shooters.
They'll get shooters eventually.
Not this season.
Yeah, but it's fine.
Not this season. You got LeBron. They know what they need, and Magic will address their weaknesses.
He addressed it as the season progressed.
You was over there tweeting about Magic, talking about he's doing the best he knows best.
Did you hear him on First Take?
Yeah. I think the star in the making, and LeBron is really going to help him, is Brandon Ingram. He's big time, and he has the length, he has the size, he has the basketball IQ. Brandon can take the step that we all feel he can take. I think that would make us a dangerous team. Well, it's definitely the third version, but I tell you what, it's going to be a version, though.
Oh,
whew, man.
Now,
when we run, it's beautiful to watch
this
team.
That's what I'm talking.
It's nothing going to be like LeBron taking it coast to coast. And we've seen that in exhibition games. I mean, man, and the place. Listen.
Yeah, the buzz for preseason is unreal.
Unreal.
In Vegas,
unreal.
I know.
Yes. We really have one of the best benches in basketball, too. That bench is going to play a key role in the playoffs.
Boy, he was selling it, man. Yep. He got me excited.
He looked calm in the front, but his neck was sweating in the back. He is terrified because all these players. I told you.
Markel just hit a jumper, by the way, Mr. Disrespect.
Oh, yeah. Congrats to him because he got 5 points now.
Nah, man. Magic is not.
I'm telling you. Terrified. All these players that he is supposed to be recruiting, what have they all said? Or all the rumors that are coming out now? We do not want to play with LeBron James.
Who said that?
Some of the stars, like Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy
Butler came out. Paul George already signed.
Butler thinks he's LeBron James.
Exactly. Look, man, the only
these are the free agents.
Bro, there's only two guys. There's only two.
Clay ain't moving.
Shannon done said it. They gonna get one of these D's. AD or KD. They gonna get one of them.
KD going to New York.
But you know what? I don't know if KD. I think you're making a lot out of nothing. This people not wanting to play with LeBron.
We said LeBron was going to LA what? A year ago before everybody actually predicted that. Okay, yeah. And everybody's saying KD's going to New York. Even out of Leonard and Butler's mouth, they say they want to go to the Clippers. They don't want to go to the Lakers. So like what else do we need to hear?
I just don't think that's as big of an issue as you're making it out to be.
Nobody wants to play with LeBron.
But what's the problem with that though? I don't understand the problem.
I'm not saying the problem is that he won't win another championship if no one goes to the Lakers.
And I'll put it to you like this. Brandon Ingram progresses. They're going to be a problem.
They're not going to be a championship
and that's why I don't think within that time frame,
you're saying it's far
so you're saying, what year is it for Brandon Ingram, Ken?
Third year.
What year is it for LeBron? It's first year. Listen. Okay. It's a wash this year. We all know that. Golden State's going to win outside of injuries.
They're not going to win.
Golden State's going to win outside of injuries. You shouldn't even be on this episode. You should have got banned for an episode saying this shit last night. So we can talk about the next 3 years, right? Three seasons. You think with the roster that they have now, and they're going to let a lot of guys go next year because they want to make cap room for the free agents that they hope to get. If they don't get any one of those, the top three that they want, and they move into the year two, with LeBron going to be 35, eventually Father Time will get to him. He might be like, we don't know what he's doing in the lab right now.
But eventually, Father Time will catch up to you. Of course. But the thing is that Father Time happens gradually, right? And for some people, it's a little bit expedited. And for some people, it's relatively slow. For LeBron, obviously, it's slow. And even if he takes a step back, he's still ahead of so many people. Hold on. With Brandon Ingram, right? I always say it's 3 to 5. First year, he averaged like 9 points. Second year, he was like 15, 16. What do you think he's going to do this year? When he has Rondo and Lonzo and LeBron that are all pass first guys, he's going to get 5 to 6 wide open, easier shots that he wasn't getting previously. And we're talking about another year of experience. He's going to be early 20s. He's going to be like 22, 23 a game. That's good enough. And then we're talking about the next year after that, he's only going to get better. You know, so LeBron, I think
Lonzo
even
will be better.
Everybody
That's
will
if
be
he
better
on the team.
I think he'll be on the team. I think that these guys, the guys that the Lakers have, the young guys, they're going to be around for a while.
I get that, but we're talking about prime LeBron. The only time that we're thinking about championships
we're talking
is
about four years LeBron.
3 years. 3 years of LeBron.
But let me ask you this. Golden State, how did they build their team?
They built it through the draft.
All right. The Lakers.
And then they added pieces.
And then they added KD.
A huge piece.
They added KD, and then they brought in AI.
So did the Lakers.
But they won a title before they added
exactly.
KD.
That's my thing. That's the biggest difference.
The reason why I asked that question is because you can look at the Lakers and see. We have to wait until the talent develops. But if the talent develops, they've essentially followed that mold with Lonzo, Ingram, Kuzma, and Josh Hart.
And I'm telling you right now, by the time that we see what the final form of Kuzma, possibly Lonzo and Ingram, LeBron will be his contract's up.
The contract's up
because the Warriors ain't getting no younger.
They're over after this year.
But they're still better than the Lakers.
Nah.
Even without KD.
They won't be better than the Lakers in two,
Steph,
in 2 years.
Steph, Clay, and Draymond are not better than the Lakers.
They're not going to be able
to sign
everybody. Nah. The way we know Golden State will not be the same in the next
if
2 years.
All those players seem like they're willing to buy in and stay with each other. Except for KD.
Clay say he not taking no pay cut, bro.
When did he say that?
He been said that a couple days ago. Clay said he's not taking no hometown discount.
Clay also said that he ain't trying to leave Golden State.
That's cool.
He said that before, and now he's singing a different tune.
Look. Just like when they signed KD and they said, "Hey, are you willing to take up shots?" I ain't changing my game. He ain't giving no discount. And guess what? You don't pay me, I will go somewhere that will pay me.
Or they can all just do what KD's been doing, or LeBron's said the 2 years with the 1 year.
That's what KD's doing.
Yeah. They can all do that.
I
just do year by year.
That saves all that money.
No, not the same. KD is
gone. It doesn't save all that money. And this is the reason why. Because there's a luxury tax and there's a repeater tax. If they sign all of the, I did the math once upon a time. Who's the owner? LaCobb, right?
Mm-hmm. Steph is still good for a while now, too, right?
Yeah, he signed $200 million.
Everybody else.
Exactly. Draymond. Clay.
Who's deteriorating
Boogie,
as a player.
You know what I'm saying? But all of these guys, and just luxury, we're not even talking salary. They're going to be paying close to $1 billion. Ain't no NBA franchise going to pay $800 million in luxury tax. It's just not going to happen. They're going to get under the tax. They're only going to have one or two stars. Steph is going to be a Golden State lifer. Mm-hmm. He's not going nowhere. Maybe toward the tail end of his career, if he still wants to chase championships, maybe. But he's the one guy that ain't going nowhere. Everybody else, they may move on.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, right now is looking, and there's a lot of still good young teams that are coming up too. You just mentioned Dallas. You got the Phoenix Suns, who we just talked about. Mm-hmm. They're gonna step up. You still got OKC because Westbrook and Paul George still young.
Denver can still make some.
The Spurs went healthy. Tough. I just don't see them. If they need this 2019 free agency is huge for Los Angeles.
They'll get somebody, but it ain't Magic, bro. It's Magic, bro. I'm telling you,
like Magic can sell it.
Hey, man.
What happened to his talk show? What happened to the Magic show?
The talk show wasn't good, but I bet the Lakers are gonna be good.
Hey, look what we're doing with the Dodgers, though.
Yep,
they already know, man. Yeah, that's a good point.
Look how long the Dodgers took, though.
I'm just saying
the Dodgers. Not just now, but as far as World Series, they're about to be on.
Magic's been there
for a long time, right?
Not a long time,
like 5 years.
Yeah. That's longer than his tenure here.
This is only the second year.
But I'm saying, like, what did he say coming into this season? He said, if I don't get a free agent in 2019, I'm taking myself off. He didn't say the same thing about the Dodgers.
That's irrelevant now, though.
How's that irrelevant?
The reason why he didn't say that about the Dodgers is because he put the right people that know baseball around him.
And he doesn't
Magic's
know baseball.
Magic's not a baseball.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Magic's you not said a baseball what? Guy.
Go ahead.
No, well, yeah, I was just saying. Yeah, he was putting the right people around him that
I know
baseball.
But it was a long term thing. Like he's trying to see this for a long because baseball, but similar to basketball, you got to build if you want to rebuild and do all that stuff. It takes a long time.
No, he gave himself a two year cap. In basketball, there's multiple windows, multiple simultaneous windows. With the Lakers, the way that they have their roster, they have two windows. They have two windows of opportunity. They have the LeBron window, and they have the other window.
What's the other window?
The other window is the Brandon Ingram once he progresses.
The 2019 free agency.
The 2019 free agency. You don't know who you're going to get, right? You don't know how young or old, right? So your windows change all the time. Like if you look at Boston, you look at Philly, these guys have 10-year windows.
Philly definitely does, even Boston.
All those first round picks.
That's what these studs coming out of college and stuff. Phoenix. Like I said, I didn't realize they had so many veterans on that squad.
Yeah.
I still think that they need another young guy. I don't know if Josh Jackson's going to be that guy. I like him. And I like the fact that they're not starting him because it gives him another chip. I think he's going to work harder, and he needs to beat out Ariza. Right. And mm-hmm. I think the way he's going to do that is by playing better defense than Ariza. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there. If they get another legit guy there, young guy, that's a real team. You know what I'm saying? I think this is Kobe and Shaq 2.0.
Man, with Booker, what Booker did last night, bruh. And they said he's going to handle the ball more because they don't really have a point guard.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And he every year he's up this assist. He has seven last night.
Yep. It's going to be a problem.
And he put up like 39, 40 points.
Yeah,
put up 35.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. Look at the back of Magic's neck. It was sweating bullets.
It was not, man. Hey, I don't think Magic is sweating.
Magic ain't sweating underneath. Magic feeling good, man. He feeling good.
He feeling good now. Wait till that summer come up.
Magic said he's been under pressure his whole life.
Right.
He's saying everything a black man say when they
but it's true though.
When their job on the line.
But it's true.
Yeah. He broke it down. It was like, he said, I won a championship in high school. Then I went to college and won
a championship. Yeah.
Like he said,
ran a championship, a rookie playing all five positions his rookie year because Kareem went out.
Yeah, pressure like, situation.
Phil Jackson was a winner too going into the Knicks
as
the president.
And already, his first, after 1 year, he got LeBron James.
Yep. Right.
Yep. We said he got LeBron James before he even got there.
It still goes on his record, bro.
Yep.
He wouldn't go there if Magic wasn't there.
Yeah. I guarantee you, Mitch Kupchak and them boys was there, he probably wouldn't have went there. He probably would have went to Philly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So Magic counts for something, and Magic is recruiting, and he's going to get probably Anthony Davis. Yep. Now that we hear KD is going to New York, and then Boston, and
they would have to move a lot for AD, right?
They got the money.
Well,
no, because he re-signed his contract. He got a lot of money himself.
I thought he was going to be.
We just talked about a whole situation.
They're literally so. Here's the thing: like they would literally have to gut the entire. They're going to have to get like a third team involved. It would be extremely difficult, and
they have to give up them young players. Somebody. Yeah,
they're gonna have to give up at least one or two, and obviously the one that you don't want to give up. So you would give up Brandon Ingram for? See, exactly.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Exactly. You got to keep Ingram and get AD.
You wouldn't give up Brandon Ingram for AD.
Hell no.
No.
And LeBron?
No.
Brandon Ingram, bro.
I'm just talking about Brandon Ingram and AD.
Yes, because what Brandon Ingram does, he extends LeBron's career.
I think y'all bugging on that one.
Nah, man.
I would say you can't take both. You can only take one. Your pick.
No, I think if you go with Kuzma and who else
they got? They don't want Lonzo.
Lonzo and some draft picks. Yeah,
they rather have Elfrid Payton than Lonzo.
No, you can make that. You can make
that.
They
got Elfrid Payton.
I know he got triple double.
Yeah, he fits in perfectly. No pressure. He doesn't have to be the star. He just can
ain't
got to
score.
Yeah, that's all he got to do is get a triple double. I think great value Rondo,
LeBron, Kuzma, and AD. That's a mean trifecta right there.
See, look, man, Kuzma is. I think he's like Bobby Portis. I think he's like Taj. Right. I think he's a fringe all-star. Like every year you can maybe make an argument for him making the all-star team, but he probably
you ain't
not
saying about
make
Bobby
it.
Portis. Bobby Portis ain't nowhere near the all-star.
I think the Bulls messed up Bobby Portis, but he has talent. I think he's he could definitely be a fringe starter, but he's definitely great off the bench. But yeah, I could see Kuzma being in that same range. He has the attitude,
mm-hmm.
and he has the ability to score offensively, but that's about it. That's about it, bro.
Like, he's nice. We're not saying that he's whack or
you
something.
You said he Bobby Portis. That's not saying somebody's nice.
Let me, Bobby's nice, man.
I love Kuzma over Lonzo.
I'd rather have Bobby Boucher than Bobby Portis.
Everybody would have Bobby Boucher if he was for real.
Now, I was saying that I love Kuzma over Lonzo Ball. So
you be saying that you hate these players, but then you be defending the mess out of them. You've been saying that for the last few episodes. Like I don't really like Lonzo, but you coming at him too hard.
And they trying to convert me into Lonzo, man. And I see LeVar struggling.
You saw that fake ass Michael Jordan commercial he just did. It's winning you over.
Real quick, since we like over an hour and a half, let's touch on some football real quick before we like finish up. So Jaguars.
Isn't it amazing?
See, this is why I tell people people get so crazy about the NFL in the month of September trying to predict what these teams gonna do and what's gonna happen. Remember Jackson? People were saying Jacksonville was like the team. Yeah, like they was gonna be the team to challenge the Patriots for the AFC. And now they looking like
did anyone of us even pick them to?
No, I'm just saying, like, just, I'm just talking about the media in general. How it was like, the defense, Jacksonville, they beat the New England Patriots. They shut down Gronk. Oh, they're the team to beat. And now
Blake Bortles had a couple 400-yard games.
Right. And now look at them now. It's like they looking like a team that might not even make the playoffs. Like, you let the Cowboys expose you like that?
The one thing that you starting to see, what that man do in the beginning of the season, then the offseason? Didn't he call out every quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jalen.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the press conference now? He's just giving out these one-word answers.
He's bad, bro. He was pissed. I think he did the right thing.
I think he did the wrong thing from the jump, which was talking all that trash. And then you let the Cowboys.
But individually, he's backed it up. Let's be honest. Individually he's backed it up.
For a couple of games, but
couple.
No, I'm saying for the games that of the players that he called out, like we were circling the Patriots game.
The grunt,
circled that whole with the Kansas City game and all that other stuff. Like, and even then you could still say he got Tyreek Hill got some on him.
Tyreek got 60.
Yeah, he got really it he was with one
step,
play.
I saw him, man. He was with him step by step.
I'm just saying like
Hill is a fast guy.
No, I'm saying he called out all these players and his team ain't really.
I'll put it to you this way.
Ain't look, backing up his
team. Look what Tyreek Hill did to New England last week.
Yeah.
Where was that against Jalen Ramsey?
I give you that. I'm just saying like he talked a lot of trash about all these teams.
And Odell got him for 100. Tyreek didn't. You know, but no, I love what Jalen did, and I think that in that press conference, he had nothing positive to say. So he pulled a Marshawn Lynch, and he just kept his mouth shut because I guarantee you, Jalen is very outspoken, and
I'm pretty sure in them defensive meetings and stuff. Ooh, oh, he let them have it.
I think. You're saying that it was good that he kept his mouth shut because he was going to talk hella trash about Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles' offense. I think
even the rest of the defense because they asked him. He was like, "We're not playing like a number one defense."
What's a headline that's not really getting talked about? Leonard Fournette. Without him, what is their record without him? What is their record with him?
You know what? Because he's the identity of that Jacksonville team.
Yeah.
And ever since he's gotten hurt, the defense isn't the same, right? Because offensively, they're on the field too long. They can't chew up the clock.
Yep.
They don't, you know, and I think the Jacksonville defense are tough guys without Leonard, but Leonard adds to that. Mm-hmm. Jay, I was watching something, you know, like a little behind the scene documentary. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody got smartphones, and you can damn near make a movie on your phone now.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen was talking about how Leonard Fournette hangs out with the defense; he don't hang out with the offensive guys.
Really?
So Jalen, another DB, and Leonard are like the three closest on the team. Like Leonard be hanging out with the defensive guys. So I think that that's interesting. And I think with him being out, I think he does affect the defense. I think he does affect the toughness again over all of that squad. And without him, I don't think they're as tough of a team.
And he didn't say his quarterback could play. Remember
when he was naming all the quarterbacks?
And his comments about his quarterback is what he was probably thinking while they were playing.
I'll say this: you know, you got a homeboy who talked hella trash about all the girls you dated, and then he got some butterhead at his in his bed. You're like, how the hell are you gonna come at all the women I came out with, and you sleeping with this little ugly ass?
They thought
that's the thing. Like you came out of all
and
these
Blake
teams,
Bortles, that and Blake, ugly, that ugly,
and yeah. Blake Bortles is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league.
But they thought
as
they
a
were
number,
the
as a top and five
he,
pick,
and he didn't pick that chick though,
right?
He didn't. He didn't pick Blake.
He didn't.
You said. I'm just saying. He had a bad night. He got pregnant.
They thought they were the Ravens, and they thought that defense was the Ravens, and that's why he said what he said, or how that's the reason why he said how
he spoke too soon. That's my thing. Like you could speak after. Like Philly did. Like. Granted, Philly won that Super Bowl, and they had the right to talk.
Right.
And now, even though they're not doing as well as they did last year, they still a champion no matter what. Jacksonville, you didn't even beat the game that you were up 10 points in going into the second half.
I think the only thing that matters is how does he measure up against Jalen himself, measure up against the people that he called out.
Right,
you know,
right.
Yeah.
All the quarterbacks. Yeah. So, what you think, your boy, Chiefs and Patriots? Did you check that out, Pat Mahomes?
It was prime time.
Yeah. Well, I saw the highlights. I didn't really watch the whole game.
Supposed to be called the passing of the torch from Brady to Mahomes.
I think it was though. I give him credit just for this because. It was a back and forth game. It was to me. It was like whoever had the ball last.
24-9 at halftime.
No, that was, I'm talking about the second okay. half.
But was it really a passing of the torch? Because I still think Brady has that torch. And realistically, is it Brady that has the torch right now as the best quarterback in the game? Because to be honest, I still think it's Aaron Rodgers.
We saw Aaron Rodgers do. Y'all saw what Aaron Rodgers do?
Like, oh my god!
I'm not giving Aaron Rodgers that much credit.
You saw what you did with
I saw you. And yeah. What does San Francisco's record? What is that?
I don't give a damn.
Who was their starting quarterback?
Look.
You telling
look,
me
look,
that?
Look. Whoa. So we give.
You know, I'm not.
Granted, look, Tom Brady. He got the Super Bowls. Tom Brady clutch.
Got the coach.
I get all that.
Got the line.
But damn, bro. Like, how much does Aaron Rodgers? It don't matter who you play. They're on the field, right? We won, right? Because of me, right?
He has to overcome Mike McCarthy's deficiencies as a coach.
And that's his fault.
How's his fault?
Because he re-signed with him.
That's not his fault.
That's his fault. Everything that's happened.
That's the organizational
fault. Will they make the playoffs this season?
Yeah.
No, they will not. They will not make the playoffs.
Okay.
When you have to on the fringe of going into overtime with the 49ers who don't have a quarterback. They don't have a really good wide receivers. They don't have a running game. They don't have a defense. They don't have nothing.
Football, you know what, man, they got? Any given Sunday.
No. Ken, who do they got? Let them know who they got. The Packers.
The Packers. They got Aaron Rodgers.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. And that barely got you to win.
Aaron Rodgers not playing defense though.
Exactly.
You know, it's
talking about Aaron Rodgers get you the win, though.
I'm talking about the team. Everything outside of Aaron Rodgers, there's nothing nice about that game. There's nothing nice about that team.
Man, did you see that throw to the sideline?
I saw all of it. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm just saying everything that's happening to him, I'm not giving that to him.
There are a lot of Aaron Rodgers truthers out there, and I've never really been one to get on the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon like that.
But you expected it. It's the 49ers. Why is it taking this long to beat the 49ers? That should have been a blowout.
But it doesn't matter as long as you win, right? Like, because don't give me Sunday.
Because who would have thought Cowboys would have blown out the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, but at least the Cowboys have a running game. At least they have a decent quarterback. You're talking about what does the 49ers have? What name me a player on the 49ers. Name me a quarterback. Do you remember his name?
CJ Beathard.
Yep. You idiot. I was going to say Beat Hard. Because when I read it, I'm like, his name is really Beat Hard? But anyway, look, man, at the end of the day, that's a professional football team playing on that field.
And they have a better coach than the Packers. I think that had a lot to do with coaching.
That's better off. In Shanahan, you had to go through the whole organization
to say, all right, this is the coach. They got a coach.
Isn't Shanahan the offensive coordinator over there in San Fran, too?
No, he's the head coach now.
He's the head coach now. Okay.
John Lynch is the GM.
Beathard doesn't look bad.
No, he looked all right. Look, but at the end of the day.
Against that defense, he don't look bad. He's like Steve Young out there.
Nick, right. Like, we want the highest paid guy to win the game, right?
Yes.
Did he do that?
Yes.
Does it matter the competition that's on the other side of the field as long as you win the game?
Because if they would have lost, what you'd have been saying?
Exactly.
No, I mean, you know? they were supposed to lose that game. They were down, what, 10?
Why didn't they lose
it? Exactly.
No, I'm not saying he didn't get the win and he didn't deserve to win. I'm saying the troubles that he's going through, the frustration that he may have.
But you know, he's opening this by saying you don't give him much credit for that win.
And he's fighting an injury, right?
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, like, I'm not giving him much credit as far as that's not surprising to me that he beat the 49ers when they're a trash team.
Man, you still got to make those throws.
Context.
Yeah, right.
The game itself.
Right.
You know, because you're looking at it from a high level. Oh, yeah, it's just the 49ers.
Yeah.
But what happens in the game? Sometimes things happen in the game that you have to overcome. That's the beauty of football. And at the end of the day, you want the guys that are going to make the plays when it's money time to win the game. And that's what Aaron does every time. It doesn't matter if you have a top five defense, top one defense, bottom. If the game is on the line and this man has at least a minute and 30, you go win the game.
Why does it take you a minute and 30 to win the game?
Well, what does it matter if you won the game?
Because it's the 49ers.
Nah, man. That's irrelevant. Win the game.
That is all irrelevancy. That shows ass.
No, it's not. Because it's a winner or a loss. That's what you count, right? Yeah, we don't count, oh, well, it's this team. No. It's a winner or a loss.
So you telling me it's now about wins and losses?
Did he not just say that?
It's all about wins and losses?
Listen.
Is that what we're talking about now? Because I can bring up your other boy, and he got a hot L this past weekend, too.
Oh,
and you're talking about when healthy, he top five. Yeah,
Winston?
No, I'm talking about Andrew Luck.
Look, man.
That team is bad.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So, you see how much y'all going back and forth?
No, hold on. Do the Packers have more talent around their quarterback than do the Colts?
It's debatable. It's debatable.
Are you for real?
Name me the players.
Bro, the Packers.
For what team?
Name me the players.
Devontae Adams.
You got T.Y. Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton is not as good as Devontae Adams.
You just said, I'm just saying talent.
T.Y. Hilton didn't play. Okay. He was hurt.
No, but I'm just saying, but he's on the Colts.
Who's the tight end now?
Ebron.
Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham. Oh, you talking about better fans. Than Ebron.
Doyle, too?
Ebron, we dumped him. And you know, if Detroit dumping him, you must be garbage.
Ebron been balling with the Colts.
You've been all right.
He's been looking better than he did in Detroit.
He catches touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
Look, man, all I know is
they got some top to bottom.
You reaching for George Kittle out there, bro.
Geronimo Allison. They got a rookie out there. I can't even see. He got two last names.
Andrew Luck had Rodgers. Rodgers. One of the tight ends.
Rodgers from who? Rodgers.
It's not the other. Not Richard Rodgers. Or I don't know who you thinking about. But it was
C. Rodgers. Yeah. I don't know his first name.
I thought you were talking about the guy from Ohio State. Anyway, you're being disrespectful.
I'm keeping the same energy that I've kept all season long.
The Browns. Is the Chargers for real or is
thank
it was Baker
you for bringing that up?
B. Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that
up. Is that your Super Bowl team?
No, absolutely not. And I need people to jump off. They're frauds. Jump off the Chargers bandwagon.
Why do you say that?
They haven't beaten anybody. Now we can talk about who are they beating. They haven't beaten anybody.
Because they 4-2.
Yeah, and three of those wins came against sorry teams.
They played against they beat the 49ers, they beat the Bills, and they beat the
– The Browns.
And the Browns.
And they lost to the Chiefs, and they lost to who
And
else?
They beat the Raiders, too.
And the Raiders.
They lost to the Rams, and they lost to the Chiefs.
Why is everybody excited about that? They do this every year with the Chargers. They jump on the Chargers bandwagon, and every year
they look at the talent around the Chargers, and they say you should, and you still have a really good quarterback, a top eight quarterback. You got
Gordon, you got Keenan Allen, you got T. Williams, Ackler.
Joey Bosa's healthy, he's in there. You got Melvin Ingram. You got did you already name Gordon?
Yep.
Who else?
Gordon playing crazy right now.
Yep.
You have players.
But I see what Ken's saying.
You're right. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't.
It's like they do this. They set you up, and then it's like y'all ain't for real.
They just got to be some good teams. Yeah. First.
Yeah. I
can say the same thing about Green Bay. But go ahead.
Yeah. They just got to be some good teams for.
And then Baker Mayfield, is he just kind of struggling? First year jitters.
Nah. They were number one. They were number one pick this past season. Like, I don't understand why people thought they were going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Like, how many teams have gone from worst team in the NFL to playoffs the next year? Like, I think everybody's high. It was just the hype coming in with Baker, then them winning one game. Two games in the last 15 years?
Two this year. Yeah.
It seems like.
Division game and then a first home game,
I just think everybody was just too hyped up about that, and you realize the Browns really don't – they're not that good.
Well, I think you also – I think it's just rookie. Like, Allen's done in Buffalo. He's going to need Tommy John surgery more than likely.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he hurt his elbow?
Yeah.
At the UCL or something like that.
Yeah. The Bills are just – it's a curse.
Sam Darnold struggled. Josh Rosen struggling. So, they're rookies. They're going to be up and down.
Type of thing. What are we going to do about our boy Winston, man?
He balled out. 395, four touchdowns. He had two picks.
How did that game end?
I don't remember. I didn't watch the game.
Anybody remember how the game ended?
Like, he tried to do like a lateral.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Deshaun, they had that.
No, they did not.
Because if he would have caught it.
There was two defenders at the top
of the goal line.
He
wasn't about to run them over, little Deshaun Jackson.
I'm saying this.
But the opportunity was there.
That was the only way they could win that game, was to do some fluke Madden stuff to possibly get in the end zone. He threw for over 400 yards.
Winston be able to throw close for 400 yards and keep the same offense going?
He did that, but he still got a hot dub. I mean, a hot L.
Are you saying they should go back to Fitzpatrick?
I'm saying that draft class with Winston and Mariota is the worst 1-2 I've seen in the last 10 years.
What about Jamarcus Russell? Who else was
I said the last 10 years. Jamarcus was.
What was that?
It was just before that.
I don't remember the draft class after that. You're talking about as far as QBs?
Man, look, man. Mariota in the right system can play.
All right, we can say that about everybody.
But Mariota doesn't look like.
Titans got shut out, though.
Mariota outside of a system cannot play in the NFL. I think I have enough evidence to support that. Winston can play the game. Winston can play the game, man. There's no denying his talent.
We're not asking you to play the game. We're asking you to win. My man, Fifo, hey, just said it's all about winning.
There's a lot of factors that go into winning, bro. There's a lot of factors that go into winning. And I think Dirk Cutter isn't it. And I don't think they don't have much of a defense.
They already fired the defense coordinator?
Mike Smith, yeah. They don't have much of a defense. That defense is terrible. So, you know.
And I don't know how Mike Smith still gets a job.
I don't know either. And look at the Falcons. The Falcons defense is terrible. And you know, I guess.
I mean, that was a high score. I mean, I think it was, 34-29.
Yeah, so. And they have a better coach. I mean, so I don't know what people want. I just really don't know what people want anymore.
We want
Matt
wins.
Ryan isn't winning.
Okay.
Ryan won when he got a better coach and a better system and an offensive coordinator.
And Aaron Rodgers does it how? Oh, okay.
I mean, Tampa Bay just, they got a lot of work to do, man.
I expect Tampa Bay to beat the 49ers easily.
Tampa Bay just got a lot of work to do. They need a running back. They need a defense. And they're probably going to need a coach. Next.
Dang. Yeah, you said they're going to probably need a coach, too?
They need a new quarterback, too.
Nah, they don't need a new quarterback. They got their guy.
Jesus Christ.
Did y'all hear the rumors, or how do y'all feel about this headline? Mm-hmm. Eli to Jacksonville. Trade.
Because of
I would like that.
Because of Tom Coughlin?
I don't know, because Eli's
falling
off so bad.
Eli's falling off so bad. I think
Blake Bortles better than him.
I don't think that makes a difference.
It doesn't. He needs to just – I think Eli needs to retire probably. I think his time is up. I think what me and FIFO have been saying, Giants should have got them a QB with all these QBs coming out of this draft, man.
I won't say that.
I know – Saquon Barkley is a hell of a talent, and he's balling.
I think he's the next Marshall Faulk.
But you can find – Nick.
Kumaro
you can possibly,
is like a third-round pick.
Right.
Like, you can find running back talent. You can find studs
at 3 and 4 rounds.
What do we always say about the draft? You pick the best player available. Not the best player available?
No.
Out of all the quarterbacks after – I think – I keep saying if Baker was available at 2, the Giants would have got Baker.
But he wasn't. Here's the thing, though.
You got to get that QB.
I agree with that statement. You get the best player available unless you need a quarterback, and they needed a quarterback.
They don't.
We
was questioning Eli going into this season.
Paxton Lynch or Brock.
We was questioning Eli last year. Like,
do you think with a rookie quarterback, what do you think they were going to do this year?
Same thing.
They're doing right now.
Okay, so then why can't we just get a high draft pick next year and get a quarterback?
Because there's no quarterback.
You saying Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen are the quarterbacks of the future?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Because
I think out of those three, only one of them is Allen.
Eli didn't look that impressive when he got drafted in too as well.
But he already proved that he was capable.
Years later, yeah.
I know, but coming in,
we wasn't like, Eli is that guy. But like, when he came out of Ole Miss, we was not saying.
But he was a top three pick. He was number one.
Just because of his name.
Right.
Darnold.
Just of his name, yeah.
Darnold wasn't number one. Allen isn't number one.
But they was top 10. Josh Rosen top picks, though. Top QBs come out.
I think last year's draft, not this year, but last year's draft class was
Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, and
Wentz.
Deshaun Watson
wasn't the number one pick.
No, but I'm just saying that was a draft class of really great QBs that you could have picked. You had a handful of them.
Why are you saying that these we need another year?
Outside of Baker, I don't see any of these QBs doing stuff.
I mean, but they need – I mean – I do.
I'm just saying that's my prediction. Yeah, outside of Baker, these other quarterbacks could be a wash. I think this upcoming year, even though there's not that many good quarterbacks, usually you only get like two anyway per draft. I think that there's one in there.
So you think they should tank this year for a QB?
Ain't no point. Yeah. If they wanted to win games or not, they can't win games.
It's hard to find a quarterback, bro.
It is.
There was a lot in this draft class.
But I trust the head coach of the Giants for at least –
Pat Schumer?
I trust him for at least – I want to see him –
He has a losing record as a coach.
I want to see him draft his own QB.
They never should have got rid of Coughlin.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, they shouldn't have.
That's spilled milk. I'm just saying with
no,
the
coach – No, it's not. They shouldn't have got rid of him. That's the New York media pressuring these guys to fire somebody. Now they can't find a coach.
Yep.
I keep telling people that. Stick with what you got. You know, and just – get better players.
But there's also that adage where you still might be good, but you need a new change of scenery. I think that's what Tom Coughlin.
And look what that change of scenery is getting.
I think he was looking more for a manager role than a head coach. I think he likes to get talent. I don't think he's at his old age where he doesn't really want to coach like these young generation. Like, I think that whole Odell situation turned him off to like, you know what, I'm going to step all the way back. I still want to be a part of football, but I'm going to let somebody else handle these kids.
Staying away from it.
Looks like as a GM, he's doing all right in Jacksonville.
He's doing really good. You just need a just can't find a QB.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, I mentioned this earlier too. What's up with your boy John Elway as a GM?
I mean, we knew what Case Keenum was. That was
stopgap.
Yeah.
I told you, I think you take those, you take his best years in Denver, which has been obviously those two Super Bowl runs, and one of them he won. It's been real crickets.
It's hard to find quarterbacks.
It is. And
how long he's been in that position?
But here's the thing. I think more importantly for a GM is to be able to draft talent. And let's be honest, John Elway has stacked that team with talent.
If you're talking about the Giants messing up, was Chubb a better option than getting any of those other quarterbacks?
Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Number five?
Yeah.
So who was already off the board?
So it was Baker and Darnold. That's all. That's it.
Oh, you're talking about Bradley Chubb. I was thinking about the running back.
Yeah, no, Bradley. So I think that
they already signed the quarterbacks
Yeah, they still had Keenum, but you still draft somebody. Keenum is not the future.
Yeah, but I don't think that they felt that Rosen or Josh Allen.
They felt, but
they got a real quality guy.
Keenum is a real quality guy.
No. I'm talking about who they drafted.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb
is not quality.
I'm not saying he's not, but Saquon isn't quality.
But Saquon wasn't there,
and Saquon wasn't a need.
No, but I'm saying the words you guys are saying,
But here's the thing, though. Keenum today is better than Eli today.
Okay,
and
I'm not saying Eli's
and they
good.
Also didn't think that Rosen or Allen were better than Chubb. So that's why they took the best player available.
And they said Barkley is better than Darnold, Rosen, Allen. You're saying the same thing that I'm saying.
Nah. There's an exception when it comes to quarterback. That's just the way the rules are.
And you're saying that Sam Darnold is him and Baker are the future of the NFL.
I think Baker and Josh Rosen are the futures of
the
NFL.
Well, they passed on Rosen. Rosen was supposed to be a top five pick easily coming into the draft.
It was this whole distraction, he talks too much thing.
Exactly,
he's probably the best pure passer in
the NFL. And he fell right into Arizona's lap.
Because the NFL, that's a whole other conversation.
But I'm just saying, like,
he shouldn't have fallen that far.
He shouldn't have, but he did, because a lot of teams didn't think he was worth it. Just like the Giants didn't think none of them other QBs was worth it.
Did that have anything to do with his talent, though? His worth.
But also,
you deal with a lot with talent. You deal. The Giants are dealing with OBJ. He's the most talented, one of the most talented wide receivers. That don't mean
Josh Rosen was saying and the profile they built against
him. It's worse than what Odell's been doing?
Went against Josh as a quarterback, because they also have this whole, you know, NFL thing about you're supposed to be the CEO and you got to be handle yourself in a certain way as a quarterback. And the same criticism they had against Baker, they applied the same thing to Josh. I don't agree with it. I hate it. I think it's stupid.
I think it is too. But
and
at
if
the
you
same
got
time,
the talent, you should draft him.
Exactly, and that's why the Browns chose Baker and not Rosen, because nobody thought Baker was going on.
No, that's why they chose Baker over Sam Darnold.
Both of them. Because he was the most talented quarterback in that draft.
I think it
class.
Was between the two of them. And Josh Rosen should have been in that, because it was really Darnold and Rosen during that college season. Baker played himself into that conversation.
Nobody thought he was number one, though.
Nobody did. He became number one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it really was Darnold and Rosen. And those are two. I personally like Rosen more than Darnold. But Darnold got all the hype and the pedigree and the size and the New York, and he doesn't say, controversial things that Rosen did. That's what hurt Rosen's stock more than his ability. It's just the NFL way of thinking. It's just the old archaic way of thinking.
And I'm saying Baker went number one when he's running from the cops.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that. That stuff is irrelevant to me.
I know, but you're talking about how NFL people
I know.
Think.
I know. And I'm Cleveland, saying Cleveland and I'm broke saying, against that
I'm,
mold.
I'm only saying all this because when we talk about talent, talent trumps. We already talked about this on the last few episodes. Talent trumps everything.
When
it comes to football, when you're in your prime and you're talented as hell, they'll excuse a lot of things for you. And I'm saying that Baker and Barkley were the best two choices at their selection, which is why those teams pick those players over anybody else.
Not if you got a chance to get a franchise quarterback.
Those quarterbacks are not those outside of maybe Darnold, but everybody else, I think, is a wash compared to Barkley.
We'll see. I've seen enough.
I think you can get another QB next year. You can always get a QB. There's always a QB every year. We've been talking about, oh, this draft class, that draft class. There's a QB that's come out of
that. There isn't a Kyoto.
There's been in the last 5 years, 4 to 5 years, there's been a QB in every draft.
Not franchise guys. What you got, B?
FIFO. You still don't trust Georgia teams? They got smacked by LSU over the weekend.
Man,
number two,
one of
36-16.
Georgia State, UGA, the Falcons, the Braves, the Hawks. Coach. It don't matter. If it's rooted in this state, it's destined not to win.
Is it more about Georgia, or maybe LSU is a lot better than they're giving credit for?
Didn't they blow out
they have,
Miami.
But they also lost a bad game. They had a bad loss, too.
And look, I just think UGA, I think it was more so about UGA. They went away from what? You know, got them
running the freaking ball.
They got away from it, and then LSU was just ready. You know, because I just think that for some reason, the teams in the state of Georgia, they kind of just rest on their laurels too much. It's like we celebrate victory before we actually get the chip. And I think that that game was just UGA was just out of character. You know what I'm saying? I think it wound up biting them. And not just biting them, like, they got blowed the hell out.
Because I don't think Fromm is as good as they like to make him out to be. I think he's a intermediate to shallow thrower, short to intermediate thrower. I don't think he can go deep with the ball like that, and then guys have to be wide open from what I've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, he was a freshman last year, and they probably had a lot, but I haven't seen him improve much this year either.
Yep. They went away. I was watching that. They clearly went away from running the ball. And you know Georgia's good for running the ball. They always get top-notch backs, and I don't know why they – I don't know if they panic. I don't know if it was coaching situation or whatever, but they went away from running the ball, like, real quick.
Yeah, because I don't even know who their running backs are or if they're any good. I knew Sony Michel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But here's the thing, though. I think just overall for their entire season, what do I always say, especially in college football? It's not if you lose, it's when you lose.
It's when you lose.
They lost at a perfect time. Yeah. Get it out the way.
You know, and it's a SEC West team, and normally you got to get that. They got to get that East.
And what was LSU ranked going into the game?
13.
Going into the game,
they
were
13th.
Thought it was 19?
I thought they were higher.
Thought they were like 13. I know they was out of the top 10. They was outside the top 10.
Okay, either way, it's still a top-ranked team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not like you lost an unranked team where it's going to just drop.
Right.
They still have an opportunity to make the playoffs.
Especially if LSU started to make a run.
Exactly. You know, and it can validate the loss.
Right. If that loss is a little more respectable now if Georgia can run the table in the SEC East and beat Kentucky and Tennessee and all them.
I know Alabama is good. I know they're stacked. You know, Tua's the truth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they are playing nobody. And they,
I know people have been saying like they need to have a tougher non-conference schedule.
It bothers me, man. It's starting to really bother me. Their reputation earned, but they take their reputation, schedule cupcakes.
Yep.
And you know, use that
the
to
excuse
go undefeated.
Is, oh, they already playing a tough SEC West division or whatever.
That was about 5-6 years ago.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just like, but they still use that as an excuse.
And if you notice, every time they play a team with a good quarterback, it gives them troubles,
right?
And that's why they stay away from all that because they just want to.
Yeah, like they don't play. They don't play the Clemsons and stuff.
Yeah,
they don't play.
Debt.
Yeah, they don't play Clemsons and Oklahoma, like the good squads with that good QBs, because like they know, like you said, they're gonna have trouble, like big time trouble. It's amazing. 4 top 10 teams lost this weekend too.
Yeah,
in college. That was nuts. Like
yeah,
to see
that was nuts.
Yeah, I didn't expect that to happen. Real quick, you watch boxing?
A little bit, not
so. Damn. So me and FIFA, anyone that watched the. I thought you probably watched the fight, Terrence Crawford.
I didn't.
That was a really good
fight.
It was
on ESPN. It came on ESPN because Top Rank, they got a contract with ESPN where they show all their fighters. It's on pay-per-view.
It's on. I know the pay-per-view, that's done.
Friday Night Fights.
HBO's done with boxing, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to go watch it on Friday. But what happened?
But yeah, Terrence Crawford been putting in work. I know
you've mentioned him a lot of times.
Y'all know I've been championing him, Errol Spence for like in that welterweight division for a long time. So like for me to see him getting ready to fight Jose, how you pronounce that last name, FIFO? I just know it was
Bautista.
Jose. Bautista, that's his last name.
I don't know.
I don't want to butcher his name, but yeah, it was a lot of tension, and this dude was undefeated as well. Both of his fighters were undefeated, and they was going to clay. I'm like, someone got to go, but I kind of knew Terrence Crawford was going to break this dude down, and the way me and FIFA was talking about it, that coming in that Sunday How he caught that dude with that uppercut and his legs buckled his face like,
yep.
Boom. Night night. It was a wrap. It was a wrap. And he finished him out in the 12th round, TKO. Yep. Like it was a wrap. So
about
like,
a minute and a half to go, 2 minutes in the fight.
And like I said, me personally, I'm waiting for a Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence fight. I hope that happens. Keith Thurman keep running and ducking and dodging from all these welterweights because he's coming back from an injury, and I just think he's scared of him. He don't want to fight him. But yeah, Terrence Crawford put in work.
Yeah, I definitely need to watch Terrence Crawford because
talking about him for years.
Yeah, like Mayweather, he adjusts. He's not a guy that goes in there with a game plan. He goes in there to beat you and whatever you're trying to do to him. And one of those things was because he talked about it, because you know how they interview the fighters before the fight and everything, and he said that's what makes him so dangerous, is that there's no real game plan for me because I just go in there and try to figure you out. And right in the first, within the first like minute of the first round, this dude Benavidez, Terrence Crawford's opponent, dude was like 6 foot with like, you know, like a crazy long reach.
He got like a good 4 or 5 inches on him, mm-hmm. on Terrence Crawford.
And he hit him with a couple of jabs, boom, boom. He ate him, and he said, oh, okay. He switched to southpaw and fought southpaw the rest of the fight. And by doing that, it allowed him to get outside of the taller guy, mm-hmm. allowed him to play outside.
Yeah. Yep.
So you want to use your height, that's cool. I'll use the southpaw on you.
Yeah.
And then he started getting to the body, because it wasn't just getting, you know, to get the jab. He started getting body blows on him. So he slowed him down, shortened him up, and then he had a bad leg. Benavidez, it's an unfortunate story, but he was walking his dog and somebody came up and shot him up right above his knee. So the doctor said that you weren't even going to walk much box. You know what I'm saying? And here he is like 6-9 months later, mm-hmm. boxing.
Oh, this just happened.
This just happened. Yeah. So, you know, the way that Terrence Crawford was just able to break him down, man, scientifically, it's like if you're a boxing fan, Terrence Crawford is somebody you need to watch. Yes. And then the dude before that, the undercard.
Shakur Stevenson.
Oh, my.
It was so funny because I texted him. I was like, yo, y'all need to check out. I was like, y'all need to watch this Shakur dude. He's nice. And then like 10 minutes later, people were like, damn, he knocked him down already. Yeah. I was like, I told you.
First round knockout, bro.
Yep.
Dude's the truth.
Yeah.
I'm definitely watching. That's what I told him.
I don't know if you ever heard of Errol Spence Jr. He's also a welterweight in the mm-hmm. same weight class as Terrence Crawford. That dude is serious. He is serious. I've been saying this for years. Why Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford, I'm telling you, if they match up, it'll be the most anticipated welterweight match since Sugar Ray and Tommy Hearns. Like,
did you see Manny Pacquiao talking about he wants to fight, what's his name?
Adrian Broner?
No. Yeah, Adrian Broner.
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
I mean, I think Adrian Broner. For the money. Plus, Adrian Broner, at this point in his career, he needs a name. Because he's kind of... It's disappointing how his career has kind of went down slide. He was on the way up.
He's the Azalea Banks of boxing.
Yeah, it's like,
he's from the Natty too, but I don't.
He had potential, but it's just
it's half and half.
So I think that's just for name. He won't Pacquiao for the name and to say, oh, I beat Manny Pacquiao and all that stuff.
Because he could have been
that dude.
And I think he messed up was that Roc Nation deal where he bad mouthed. Where he just basically messed up that whole deal.
The whole deal.
From then on, it was like he's a cast.
He ain't focused, man. And Floyd Mayweather tried to get him focused, but he never listened to Floyd. Floyd was like, "Look, when you start winning these fights, you're gonna go from fighting the C level fighters to the B's and the A's, and
that's where the money is."
Yeah, and that's what Floyd was trying to tell him. Like, look, you can't be taking these fights lightly. You gotta train. When it's time to train, you have to be committed.
And my thing
is,
he talked all this cash. Yeah. And he be getting knocked.
Yeah, and that's what Floyd was telling him. Like, you got to back it up. You got to put in the work. And Adrian Broner didn't want to put in the work. Floyd was still training like he broke. And this dude is, you know, 50-0, you know, got all the money. And he still trained like he broke. That's what makes Floyd so great. That's what separates him from all the rest of the boxers, man.
AB trying to make tracks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Floyd was trying to tell him, don't do that. If you want to be this and there, focus on your craft.
Man. But,
yeah, that's all I got.
Oh, yeah. The only thing I got left, because I know this is the end, so people probably have already turned it off. Looks like the world, this baseball. So we'll catch you guys next week. But, yeah, looks like the Red Sox might be heading back to the World Series,
against
man.
The Brewers.
Yeah, that game, both of those games.
Brewers, ain't nobody beating the Brewers, man.
No, the Brewers done, bro.
They are?
They're up. They lost that other game,
right?
Against Bellinger.
That's
3-2.
What I'm saying.
It's 3-2.
Yeah.
You still think the Brewers got a shot? Down 3-2.
What's his name? Hater,
the racist guy.
Yeah.
You know, they like this.
But he a good, damn, he a good ass pitcher, though.
The Dodgers pitcher. Who's
Kershaw?
Great in the regular season, shaking the playoffs. Hey,
Kershaw.
I think this is Kershaw. His year. This
yeah.
might be his year.
Kershaw, he's finally, it's the opposite now. Like, trust me, because I had him on my fantasy squad. So he didn't do much for me, but he's balling in the playoffs
I
now.
Think, I his think back. This, his yeah. back got hurt, so he had to rely more on technique, I think, than natural than his ability.
This is his year. This year.
He had a good game last night.
Brewers. I still got them.
I don't know, man. Nah, this Magic year, they're going to win the World Series and they're going to win the
title. That'd be crazy.
Come on, man. How you just want to just say
Come on, Ken.
That'd be crazy.
Come on, Ken.
But just move really, to LA. Really, just leave. Just go to LA.
But nah, they like that play last night about the fan interference that everybody's up in arms about. It's
that was interference.
It was interference. And look, they got a Bartman. And if they go on to lose the series, the fact of the matter is, like, y'all know to just stay out of it.
Right.
And let it play. But they can't help themselves. Yep. He just had to go for the ball. And we don't know. If that only would have tied the game. Boston still went on to score 8 more runs.
Right.
You know, and there was some hell of a diving catches that were made last night. But the last thing I'll say is I think that the Major League Baseball have some of the best – walk-off celebrations.
Don't they? The best. They got the best. I love it. All the way back to the 70s. From back in the days to now. They have the best walk, especially in postseason.
Oh, in postseason,
they go nuts. I love it, man.
When Bellinger hit that walk-off single, and he going to second base.
Yes.
Backwards. And they just run out going to tackling, man.
I love it,
man. They let loose. I think they have some of the best walk-off situations.
They do.
So y'all saying Dodgers, Sox?
I think it's Dodgers, Sox, man.
I think Sox and Brewers.
You think the Brewers going to come do it like
– I think they're going to come back.
Craig Counsell is an idiot. He's doing this trend in baseball when you don't have a fourth or fifth starter that's worth a damn.
Right.
They do something called bullpen.
All right. Yeah, okay.
I would say this, if the Dodgers don't close it out tomorrow –
Wade Miley go in. He pitched like 8 pitches and walked the guy, and he took him out.
Yeah.
He took him out.
Yeah, I don't
know. He didn't even get one out.
Yeah.
And brought in Woodruff.
Right.
So I think his bullpen is done.
Yeah. It probably is. I see what you're saying.
But they're hot, and it looked like – I was like, man, who wants to see the Brewers in the World Series versus the Red Sox or the Astros? Like, that's not going to go well. Especially with the way he's using his bullpen.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see Mookie Betts versus Bellinger, Justin Turner, Kershaw.
And I want to see what Kershaw do with that Boston lineup. And I want to see what he's going to do against that Boston lineup that they play.
Yeah, and Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Manny, he lost his damn mind in the playoffs. He tripping, folks. He not running.
Hey, when I saw that, I'm like, that was so intentional. Like, you can't even explain that as being accidental.
It was. And it'd be good to see Puig in the World Series too.
I want to
see him in the World Series, like playing and like just seeing how. Because did you see him when they won the first round? I think how he sounded just like fucking Scarface, dude. Like he sounded exactly like when they was in there celebrating. I was cracking up. But
so that's gonna be dope. So So anyway, Boston 4-1 at the time of this recording.
Yeah, they are. They about to go ahead and
go to
the World Series.
So their clothes have been struggling, Kimbrel.
Yeah, they are.
But he survived. So anyway.
They be all right. All right, y'all. BZ was somewhat of a captain, and then Ken came right back in and interrupted the whole flow.
He came back in and messed up the whole flow.
Look at me. But all right, y'all, man. Make sure y'all follow the socials, everybody. Myself, BZ430, FIFO247, Kenneth B. Ange, Nick NDR513.
Yep. Just right? Mr. Disrespect. Just look him up.
Just look at it. Just Google him. Check y'all out next week. Peace.